much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And we're back. We are now ready to heighten our foreplay to petting. The male may fondle her back and arms. The female, if she is so inclined, may latch on to his honker.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Just finished my feature.
What's a feature, Dad?
A feature is Hollywood industry jargon for a screenplay. You know what motion pictures are?
Human centipede.
Human centipede, yes, Shayna. You remember we watched that film? That's right, they did eat the poo-poo. And you know what? Those people didn't just make that up on their own. Someone had a right that they ate poo-poo. That's what a feature is. That's what a screenplay is. That's what your dad just did.
And now.
It's a P-A-R-T-Y because I said so.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 7th of March.
Ladies and gentlemen, Herox Kevin. Come on.
That was a tepid response at best.
We're delighted to see you. We're happy that you're here and well.
Mm-hmm.
We were debating this morning whether you were going to come in today, and I think I won the office pool because I said he probably has some stuff here at the station he needs to pick up before he goes on vacation next week. So he'll come by. And boom!
That's what your reason was based on?
Yes. I felt like you had some cookies in your locker or something you wanted to take on the road.
I got cookies here and at home, right. Bean. Don't be ridiculous.
He has cookies on the way out to the car.
And to the car.
Kevin is a full-time guy who just follows him around whenever Kevin needs cookies.
He's my cookie guy.
Sure. Why not? Anyway, how's everybody here on this National Pancake Day?
Great.
I mean...
Found out today that Allie doesn't like pancakes, by the way.
It's not that I don't like them. I just, like, people love them. People are obsessed with pancakes. Mm-hmm. If I go to a breakfast place, not getting pancakes. It's just not my top order.
I hear you.
So do you never get pancakes?
I'd say maybe every 5 years.
Holy moly, you're a monster.
I might be.
I'd
get a waffle before a pancake. Is that weird? I'd get French toast before all of it. I'll tell you that.
Bean, how many times do you have pancakes in a month?
I mean, I have...
Wait, you said 5 months?
Every 5 years.
You said five years.
Yeah.
Okay. I have pancakes, no joke, 3 times a week every week.
No.
Pancakes are my favorite food.
Pancakes are no one's favorite.
No. We've discussed this. Wait for this, Kevin. If you can't have pancakes, what's your other favorite food?
Well, my one and two, well, Kevin knows this, toast is my other favorite food. So pancakes and toast are my two favorite foods of all time. So you don't think breakfast is my favorite meal of the day?
Breakfast is his jam.
It is.
Oh. I don't know if he likes jam or not.
I don't. I'm a jelly guy. But I will say that I do love pancakes so much, so much.
And I think that's great.
I do too.
Yeah.
But side note,
uh-huh.
He's not listening, right?
No.
How can a pancake be your number one food?
I mean,
Hey.
You're not listening. Shh.
Oh, I'm not listening.
We're talking about you now.
Yeah.
Okay. You can like them.
Right. You can think they're great.
You can order them a lot.
A lot.
Number one food?
No way.
Right?
That's a sickness.
Is he lying?
Wrong. He's lying.
In his head, he believes it.
He's like, I go so much that this means it's true.
Right.
I love pancakes.
I have them so much, I must love them.
Pancakes would be my final meal if I were to get the electric chair.
No, sir.
Please.
Of course
From
it would.
From your mouth to God's ears.
It's my favorite meal.
You're so mean.
All right.
And he's back.
And he's back indeed. Hey, do we have time to hear about Natty Haygood?
Yep. Can't wait. Love Natty.
Natty is 29 years old. He is a Jackson, Wyoming ski instructor. He was out on the slopes with a few friends this week. And he decided to take a routine path through the trees. With my experience, you can bash between the trees, and it's not that big a deal, he said. This is in an article with the Idaho State Journal. But this time it was a big deal. He hit the trees, lost his balance, crashed into the snow. Here's his quote. I thought maybe the chin strap got pushed up onto my face, so I tried to brush it off, and that's when I felt the stick.
Oh.
So I shook left to right and saw the stick moving in my peripherals. I reached out and I grabbed it and wiggled it before I realized it was pretty far in there. That's when I had my first aha moment.
Oh, no.
Holy crap, I just got impaled.
Oh.
And then I... I yelled over to Pete, who he was skiing with, hey, look, I got a new piercing. So this guy's pretty chill, right?
Who's that calm? When they got impaled.
This photo shows, let's see if I can explain it. This photo shows a stick from a tree, that goes through his chin and then comes up and comes out of his upper lip. That's how it goes through his body, like that. Apparently, here's the good news, Allie. The incident occurred so quickly that Mr. Haygood experienced almost no pain from the impalement. It left an 18-inch long timber branch gouged through one side of his lip and sticking out the other. 18 inches. It went in so fast, though, that it didn't even hurt.
It's like a piercing, like that initial, and then it's fine.
Yes.
His lip. I mean, it could have been another, you know, a couple of inches over, and he could have been dead.
Yeah, certainly, yes.
Wow.
Before ski patrol transported him down the mountain, the newspaper wrote, Haygood braced the wood against his face and broke off about a foot of the giant splinter in order to better stabilize it, which makes sense. Why walk around with this heavy, heavy stick when you can just cut it off close to your skin, right?
Right.
Once at the hospital, his caretakers shot his face full of anesthesia, the most painful part of the whole ordeal, he said, cut his lip around the exit wound, and freed the branch.
What? Freed the branch?
Yeah.
That's just their way of saying that they took it out?
They took it out, yeah.
Yeah, they cut around his lip to, you know, so that they could pull the stick out.
I feel like they freed the human.
Maybe so. His ski students and the local community now call him Lipstick. That's his nickname now, Lipstick.
I think that could be better. You know?
I don't know. I mean, it does explain exactly.
Haygood was not as chill about the steep hospital bill, though. I certainly don't feel bad about asking people in the community to pitch in $10 so I don't have this crippling expense. He has set up a GoFundMe page that has nearly reached its 1,500 goal. By the way, it took 15 stitches, and he is fine. He says, when I laugh, I have to hold the left side of my face down at this weird angle that makes me look like a crotchety old man, and I drool more than I used to. But other than that, I'm fine.
I like that he used to drool, though.
Yeah.
That's more than I used to. You know, I used to drool a lot, but now it's even more.
It is weird at 29 that he now drools more than he used to. That's a really good point, Kevin.
Yeah, it's a little scary.
So anyway, that's not a great day on the slopes, but I guess compared to what could have happened, he's pretty lucky.
Upon reflection, Lipstick is a good name.
It took her a bit. Bean, I wish you could have seen when you said the nickname was Lipstick, and Allie said, I think they could do better.
Right.
And then I said, I don't know. It sort of describes what happened.
Right.
Beat. Oh, that's how long it took her to understand the nickname.
Coffee. See, because it's just lip and it was an actual stick.
Right.
Right. Wow. I thought that was fairly evident to all.
Yeah, it should have been.
It was.
Okay. Yeah.
To all except,
you know. All right.
Certain people. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
Is it possible or is it even necessary?
The Bachelor Report is on today.
I can't wait.
Like we do Tuesdays.
So 3 hours last night, including an hour of the Women Tell All. And last night, they only eliminated one lady, right? So now we're just down to the final two, if I understand correctly.
I feel like there's got to be a lot of filler. If they're doing 2 hours without the Women Tell All, they're doing 2 hours of a show, and they eliminate one person?
Yeah. Well, I think we'll let Ralph explain, but I think that most of the first hour was the overnight in Finland with one of the girls, and then the next hour was the overnight in Finland with the other girl. So I think they're really kind of expanding the time that they show on each date now.
Okay. Ralph's here. Clarify. Yes?
It was 1 hour of The Bachelor, 2 hours of Women Tell All.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
They had so much to say.
They did. There was 19 of them. They had all the remaining women who weren't still in the competition, so...
So
we
this
talked
is
to Corinne and Taylor about their feud, Christina about time in the Russian orphanage, and there was a lot to cover. So it was an hour of Bachelor and then 2 hours of Women Tell All.
Were there some women that you had almost completely forgotten were on the show, Ralph?
Absolutely. Not almost completely. completely forgotten. I looked at them at the show and said, who were they? Were they even on the show? Well, why are they talking? Tell them to shut up.
So that's coming up. Ralph and Petros will take a look at the Bachelor Report at 8:05, like we do on Tuesdays. We have director Danny Boyle in studio.
Oh, he's so talented.
How about that? Talking about T2 train spotting. We're going to talk about the Alabama movie theater that will not show Beauty and the Beast. They will not put that on their movie screens.
It's filth, that's why.
Yeah.
Because there's a gay character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their right.
And a woman who falls in love with a monkey, too, by the way.
More like a buffalo.
All right.
Don't you think?
Bigfoot, something
like a big yeti. What is he?
I was not here when this conversation was had, but apparently Omar gets calls from prison First of all,
mm-hmm.
have you ever gotten a call from a prison?
I've gotten a collect call from prison.
You have you?
Yeah.
We have here at work, but mm-hmm. I don't think I ever have at home.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And he won't answer it, which leads me to think, what about if it's Kevin, for starters?
By the way, it's 100% one of his friends.
Oh, for sure.
Or former friends.
No question.
Yeah, no question. So he is just avoiding.
Yeah.
He's avoiding them. Or is it a scam?
If that could be it, too. It could be one of those scam calls.
We'll discuss. But I just feel like if you're somebody's phone call, right. at least pick up the phone.
Right, but that's what the scam is based on.
Uh-huh.
All right. See how smart they are?
Okay.
Thanks for that info, Bean, on today's
how
Kevin and Bean Show.
Dare you?
You cried at a movie and it surprised you?
Dave was weeping at Logan.
Weeping at Logan?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay.
Was not surprised.
And we will continue with K-Rock Wheels Up 2017, destination number 6, which is Incubus and Jimmy Eat World. You win tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bowl, and you qualify to see them in New Orleans. You get round-trip airfare. You get $500 spending cash. You get to stay with Bean.
Nope.
So that's all good times.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun.
It's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. He's alternative rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock. It is 5:55.
5:55 sounds like it's time for Ralph Garman and our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Let me tell you. It sucks to be up this early.
Yes.
It's not good. No one enjoys it. All right, carry on. Just wanted to get that out. No, I want to make it a little bit easier by giving you something. We're having a very special K-Rock exclusive advanced screening of Beauty and the Beast.
Yay!
Tale as old as time. True as it can be.
Right, we know the song.
Barely even friends. Then somebody bends unexpectedly.
Oh, the song. Got it. That's from Beauty and the Beast.
You can
right.
kiss my ass.
Oh, I like this version.
That's the new version. Yeah. Not only we have Beauty and the Beast, IMAX 3D.
All right.
At the IMAX headquarters. All this happens on March 15th, 2 days before the movie's in theaters on the 17th. If you would like to see this, and who wouldn't, on the beautiful IMAX headquarters 3D screen, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers through with that number get a pair of passes to our advanced greeting of Beauty and the Beast. That Emma Watson, she's a good deal right there.
Yeah, she is.
Agreed.
She's lovely and talented and seems to be so even-headed and sort of smart and composed. That's why I hate to see her get beat up in the press, and it happens a lot, especially to young attractive women. She's got a new spread in Vanity Fair magazine. You know, when a movie comes out, they do a lot of press and there's a lot of photographs. She's got a spread in Vanity Fair where she is wearing a crocheted top. That's it. Very attractive, tasteful picture, but she is fairly revealed,
right?
And so now people are questioning her as to whether she can possibly still be a feminist or not because she's posing naked.
Well, then they don't understand what being a feminist is.
What?
That seems ridiculous, right?
Of course.
Critics are calling her out for being a feminist and posing nude in a magazine. And I don't see how the two could possibly be mutually exclusive.
I would say the opposite. I would say it's 100% her choice on what she chooses to reveal about her body. That's her right.
Plus, feminism is about women getting equal rights and opportunities as men. It has nothing to do with sex or sexuality or whether you show your boobs or not.
I assume she got a lot of death threats. Like
I'm sure she
like
did.
All
that's,
people
the,
do.
That's the go-to reaction on the internet.
Yeah.
I support any woman who wants to show her boobs.
I know. But see, that's not...
Is that not the point?
You're not. Emma says in a statement, feminism is about giving women choice. Feminism is not a stick with which to beat other women with. It's about freedom. It's about liberation. It's about equality. It's not... I really don't know what my T's have to do with it, she said.
Oh, you can't say that word?
No, Allie, you can't. Although you keep trying. God bless you. Can't say that word. But good for her for standing up for herself.
And people got a little upset with Emma because she had... What a lot of people thought was did the same thing to Beyonce and that she slut-shamed Beyonce in an article. A lot of people also didn't read that article. So Emma posted the full article today and was like, here's actually what I said 3 years ago about Beyonce. So worth taking a look, ladies.
But, Allie, you want people to actually read things?
I know. It's a lot of words, too. But I will say this. She highlighted the parts about Beyonce.
But then people have to know what they're talking about. They can't just...
I know. It's not really the times
tweet
we live
angrily.
In.
Angrily? I don't like it.
Yeah.
Well, did you know that, according to men, women exaggerate everything?
Right.
It's helpful.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Bryan Cranston. Mother effers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am the one who knocks.
He's the one who knocks. And now he's also going to be Gorgon. Or Gordon.
Zordon.
What the hell?
What
movie
is
Zordon?
That?
Oh, come on.
You didn't get the name right
but
twice.
But I knew what... Chip knew automatically what I was talking about.
She knew because you said it wrong.
She knew because I said it wrong. Wouldn't she more likely know it if I said it right, though, Kevin?
But she knew immediately what you meant.
Because it's so obvious, right?
Power Rangers.
Go, go, Power Rangers!
Oh, okay.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers!
You're not singing that as much as yelling.
Very angry.
I liked it.
Thank you, Chip. Wanda Sykes is 53 years old today. Rachel Weisz. Oh. Rachel Weisz, Rachel Weisz, every morning you greet
seriously
me.
Gotta be a way to...
Soft and white, clean and bright.
Too much.
You look happy to meet me.
Is today Kevin Bean the musical that I just missed the announcement?
Peter Sarsgaard's 47 years old today. Laura Prepon... What? You okay?
Yeah, wow.
Jeez.
Love him.
Someone just opened her air valve. Laura Prepon is 37, and actress Jenna Fisher turns 43. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, it's very rare that Jack White, who we just heard right there on K-Rock, does an in-depth sit-down interview, but he does have one in the new issue of New Yorker magazine. And had I already read it, I could tell you some fun facts from it, but I haven't gotten to it yet.
That's that info beam.
Fun fact, he also thinks that Meg is almost unlookable.
How dare you?
Why would you say that?
I don't know. I thought it was odd to see, first of all, that in the interview, and also using the word unlookable, right?
Why would he do that?
Why would he do that?
It's
so weird.
That all started with Bean's massive crush on her.
His unnatural attraction to Meg.
I love her so much.
Oh, yeah.
And so then the rest of us were forced into the no, she's not camp.
We have to balance the universe, right?
She's so hot, you guys.
See? This is
and I hate that she's gone underground and we never see her anymore.
She's in the hole?
It's where gophers belong.
Come on. I think she's just she's a stay-at-home mom and or wife right now is all she's doing. She's not in the public eye anymore. So
she's got a burrow.
I miss her.
She's in a burrow.
Let's, now that we're on the topic of things that Bean says, let's do this.
That's that info, Bean.
Yeah.
Bean looks at this as a negative. Bean thinks that we're making fun of him. But the
you are.
No, the truth is that Bean has Asperger's.
Right.
And one of the things that comes with that is he can't tell if who he's talking to is at all interested in what he's saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when the records are playing, when the songs are playing and the commercials are playing, he has what he considers conversation with the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Or another way to phrase that would be I am a friendly coworker who enjoys fun banter with the people in my office.
I'd like to remove about four of those words.
That's that info, Bean.
Friendly, fun, banter.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the first one. And this is Bean coming out of the blue. This is not weird. Hey, everybody, let's all talk about bands we miss.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I miss. And then Bean chimes in. No. We're just sitting here minding our own business. And Bean says this. Let me say something, but maybe controversial.
Oh, boy.
Right there, you know, not controversial.
Right.
At all.
Yeah.
And I feel I may lose friends over it.
Oh, boy.
He has friends.
Here's the Shaggy Dog story. Big setup. Here we go. And here's the windup and the pitch.
And then no one says anything, and then Bean says, I really miss Haircut 100. No one says anything. They were really good. like we couldn't get that from the sentences before.
Right.
And then no one said anything. And then Bean continues, favorite shirt? 1+1. No one says anything. And then Bean says, who's with me?
Look.
He goes on. That was a 2 minutes with no one responding.
That's the give. That's your answer right there. The non-response is your answer. No one is with you. Shut the hell up.
That's that info B.
They were an outstanding K-Rock
right,
band.
We're not
we
arguing
used to play
now.
A lot.
Right.
And we don't play them anymore.
Right.
And you just never hear their records.
All of that's a given.
And I miss them. And it's it's not me coming in
that's
here
that
with
info B.
Something that's completely out of the realm of our universe. I mean, this is we're talking about music that this station
no,
used to play.
We are talking about
super
it.
Super relevant.
We
right.
are not talking about it.
Correct. No one said a word during
you know,
that
this
whole
is,
thing.
This is conversational assault. It's like sexual assault. When you just mind your own business, someone just starts touching and feeling you up like on a bus or something. You could go to jail for that. This is conversational assault. You're minding your own business. Haircut 100. He starts like skeeving all over you verbally.
Thanks for that info, B.
You should be in jail.
I write this stuff down word for word just to make sure that I get it right. And then I write down all the response in the room. The rule is... if it's a thanks for that info bean moment, you do not respond.
Do not
that's
engage.
Harsh.
It took
do
Allie
not
a
engage,
while.
Allie.
I know. It's hard, though.
Here's another one. Why is Michael Moore so fat? Out of the blue. It's not like Jesus. We were talking about the weight of celebrities or fat. Nothing. Zero. Nothing.
He was back on my TV,
right.
And it's just, it's rare that you see somebody become famous and then get fatter after they're famous. Usually, once people are in the public eye, they tend to slim down a little bit.
That's that info, Bean.
Exactly.
Just a surprise.
Basically the opposite, Bean.
I forgot to explain this to you as well, Bean, is that when we do this feature, we don't need explanation. Yeah. We all understand what you're saying.
Oh, it sounded like you did.
No, no, we're saying stop saying it.
I see.
All right. We were giving away tickets for the Ducks against the Florida Panthers. Mm. So at least there was a tie-in to the day. So Bean says, wouldn't it be funny if the Ducks were playing the Carolina Panthers? Because they're a football team. So no one says anything. And then Bean follows that up with, again, like we don't get it. Because they play different sports.
Holy crap.
That would be.
What are you, four?
That's that info, Bean.
What the highlights for children joke.
Wouldn't you want...
That
I wasn't
bean.
Making a joke. I was being serious. Wouldn't you want to see the Carolina Panthers try to play hockey?
No.
What the F are you talking about?
Right?
Oh. Guys...
You don't get it. Man. I like it when he starts with guys. He's trying to include all of us.
Yeah, we're all pals, right?
Guys, I'm pretty sure I'm going to buy the new Reba McEntire album. I mean, honestly, do you do nothing that you don't share?
I'm not sure.
I don't tell you. I don't tell you what album I bought yesterday because you know why? You don't care,
right? And you know you're aware of that.
I'm not sure
that info
why I shared that. I take your note on that. I'm not
okay,
sure.
Good.
I'm not sure why.
Wow,
that
he took
up.
One note.
Only one solution involves a bag in a desert.
This was the Monday night is The Bachelor. Tuesday is The Bachelor Report. Mm-hmm. And then Wednesday, Bean came in and said that he said this. Guys, I caught up on The Bachelor last night. Now, it was on Monday, and we did the report Tuesday, so why would he tell us that? So no one said anything, and then Bean says, because of Finland. Right, Allie?
Yes.
He watched The Bachelor because they took a trip to Finland.
I heard
and
on
Bean
The Bachelor Report
that
they
went to Finland. Info Bean.
So I wanted to see
thanks
that.
That info Bean.
What's wrong with that?
That's that info Bean.
It's not a travelogue. It's two people standing in snow.
I just
needed a Big Bear.
I just wanted to see it.
Because of Finland.
All right,
we're out of time.
One more. I got one more, and it's a good one.
How dare you?
This is Bean getting political now.
Oh, dear.
Did you guys know that Donald Trump is the first president not to have a dog in over 100 years? No one said anything, and then Bean continues. I did some research. And the last president that didn't have a dog was Woodrow Wilson. No one responds. And Bean ends it with, he had chickens.
So forgive me that y'all learned a little something that day.
That's that info, Bean.
K-Rock Wheels Up 2017, by the way, is on the air. Destination number 6 is the bands Incubus and Jimmy Eat World playing a great night of music together at the Hollywood Bowl. And you qualify to see them in New Orleans, Louisiana, which is a city I believe you will enjoy very much. We're talking about round-trip airfare and hotel and $500 spending cash. Your chance to win coming up at 9 a.m. like we do every day this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right, Omar.
Yes.
Why are you in here? Tell us your story.
I am getting calls from a prison system. So Sunday,
is it a collect call thing?
It's a collect call thing, right? So first thing Sunday morning around 5:30 in the morning, I get a call and I just let it go to voicemail.
Now, why at 5:30 in the morning? Don't you think, hey, I look, you know, at the, maybe someone I know.
I look at the number and it's a number from Houston. So okay, I'm thinking.
So then you think, I don't know anything.
I don't know anybody in Houston, right? Okay. Exactly. So then they call back around 7 o'clock, let it go to voicemail again. So then I get up. And I checked the voicemail, and then I realized that it's somebody who's in prison trying to reach me. So I listened to the voicemail, and the voicemail says, it starts by,
"Hey, dude, you got any coke?"
No.
Hey, says, Omar, it's me.
Yeah.
Right.
It says, collect call from, and then when it gets to the name, it's so distorted that you can't tell.
Is that right?
Yeah, on both of the voicemails, it sounded like the exact same voicemail on both of them. Right?
Okay, sure. That makes sense.
So then the day continues, and then around 5 o'clock, I get another one. This is probably the fifth one.
This person is trying hard to reach you, Omar.
Absolutely. So
what if it's like a relative?
So then,
really?
So that's what I was thinking. So through the day, I started thinking, okay, so I just start texting some people that I think might be.
Oh, you're sketching friends?
Yeah.
Hey, dude, are you in jail?
No. I try to be a little bit more subtle. I'm like, hey, dude, how's it going? Or whatever. He's not good. He's like, oh, I'm like, okay, good. Just checking in. And then so I'm like, you know, trying to think. And then there was this one buddy who has family in Houston. So I'm thinking, oh, man, maybe. But no, he's in town. So he's all good. So then I'm like, well, maybe it's just somebody that I've lost touch with. And I have a really shady history.
Yeah, sure.
No question.
Or not to interrupt, Omar, but somebody who has the number that they're trying to call and they have it wrong.
Absolutely.
They've got the number wrong. They're accidentally calling you over and over again. They mean to call someone else. You don't know at this point.
They say, hello, is this?
Omar North Tower.
Yeah, I don't want any part of that. So then around the one at 5 o'clock, I hit the number. It says press 1 to accept or press 7 to not get any more inmate calls. That's what the voicemail tells me. Right? So I'm thinking, okay, you know, screw it. I'll press 1. So I press 1, and it goes on this entire monologue of this phone call will be recorded, and then you and the inmate. And then as soon as it starts getting all, like, litigious, I hang up. I'm like, I'm not getting into any kind of phone contract with this voicemail thing or whatever.
Right.
So I hang up, and then around 7 o'clock, I get another one.
Wow,
and then,
man.
This is not
one errant call. This is all day long.
This is somebody that knows you. Desperate to get a hold of you.
Okay, so then around 9 o'clock, the phone number changes. It's not a 713 area code anymore.
Okay,
it changes to an 818 Van Nuys number.
Okay,
they transferred him.
They transferred him
right that fast.
At least you can visit him now.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, what's up?
Now, Omar, do you think every single time you decline to take a call that they take that guy back to his cell and beat him to within an inch of his life until he's ready to make another phone call?
And I'm just having fun with him?
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea what's up.
A computer?
Allie thought that it might be a scam.
Yeah, there's a phone scam. It's called the Jailhouse Jingle Scam.
Okay.
And you get the collect
call. That sounds like a new Ryan Seacrest contest,
doesn't
it?
Delightful. Then they bring you roses. It's this scam where an inmate calls you and you're like, I don't even know this person. And then they say, I'm so sorry. I need to actually call my mom or my sister, someone, but I only got one call. Can you transfer me? All you have to do is press star, and then it's like 72 or 90.
Why are you now an operator that's transferring
and then
people?
Essentially, yeah, right? if you're a kind, sweet person that's stupid, you're like, oh my God, this poor guy is so down on his luck, and he used this number. Oh, I've got to transfer him. You then transfer him to whatever person that is, and now that person has full control of your phone. And they start making calls on your behalf using your number.
So it comes from your number.
Yes.
Wow.
So good job.
Okay,
but now, because you actually did pick it up that time,
I did.
You're on every single list possible. They're like, this is an active phone line, essentially.
Oh, so star 72 is call forwarding. basically is what it is. Yeah. And you're giving up your control to
Star 72, and then I guess the number starts with a 90, which is the call forwarding.
Oh, wow.
So it unblocks it, then the 90 is the call forwarding.
It's so smart, and I don't know how successful that jailhouse jingle scam is, but it's so smart because you really do try to help some.
Right.
I would imagine most people would try to help somebody if somebody's in jail. You know, you feel like they're in the super tight spot.
Yeah. Not me.
I mean, not Omar.
Not Omar. It doesn't mean he could care less.
Now, but what about this, Allie? Because this came up yesterday when we were talking about this off the air with O. Wasn't there something going around a few weeks ago which all you had to do was say yes?
Yeah, I heard
now
about
you're
that
host,
too.
Right?
Yeah,
say yes to the dress.
That was on CBS.
And I fell for that one.
Oh, no!
I did.
Omar.
I totally did. I totally did.
What's wrong with you?
You get like, it's a telemarketer call, right?
Right.
But when you pick up the phone, they're like, hello, can you hear me? And so I'm like, yes, I can hear you.
So then once you say yes, what's the...
Apparently, this is on Snopes. It says it's not founded, but it was on CBS News. There are tons of people calling saying this is happening to me. They have your voice recorded as saying yes. Then they can use that for future charges and say, we've got your voice right here saying that you accept these charges. This is you, correct?
And all they need is just that one word.
All I said was yes.
When was this, Omar?
It was a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
That's why you're getting calls from jail.
I know, they're on this sucker.
One of the most acclaimed directors of our time, joining us later on the program this morning. He is the man who made Trainspotting and 28 Days Later and Millions, 127 Hours, Steve Jobs. I mean, what a film resume.
Right?
A Slumdog Millionaire, by the way.
Why is he coming on our show?
Talking about Danny Boyle, talking about the new Trainspotting film. That's going to be coming up in the 8 o'clock hour right after the Bachelor Report with Ralph and P, all on the way this morning here on K-Rock.
Tell me about your girlfriend, Bjork, Bean, and why I have to be...
you have to be excited to go see her because she's
excited.
Coming to town.
Why I have to be tortured by her?
Yeah, why
How
just
dare
subjected
you?
To her?
Right.
First of all, she's lovely and she's wonderful.
Right.
And she... she's marching the her own drummer, I'll tell you that. She's,
right.
She's certainly not following the crowd, this Bjork. And I'm very interested. You know, she has always been at the forefront of technology, especially with making her videos. And she's, you know, really into crazy visuals and whatnot. And she has a new virtual reality exhibition that is coming to Los Angeles. She has already toured it in Tokyo and London. And it is going to be opening up in May. May 19th through June 4th at the Magic Box at the Reef, which is downtown L.A. on Broadway.
Okay.
She's going to be performing with an orchestra, and apparently it is going to be an amazing virtual reality experience. And I don't really completely – it's hard to see in videos what it's going to look like in 3D in person when you're there. But we asked Dave if there's any way we could get Bjork back on the phone so she could explain a little bit about what we can expect as audience goers when we go to this event in May. Bjork, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I am marching my own drummer.
Yeah.
That's not the expression, is it, Bjork?
The beat was not included.
No, I just have a drummer and I make him march. I like to watch the drummer march.
Okay.
When
all
we
right.
are in the magical meadow and all of the bears are sitting down having tea with the heads of pins.
Okay, well, I don't know about that, but... we are excited about the tour, the Bjork Digital that's coming together. Yes, very much so.
It is a wonderful experience where you can go inside the cloud and learn of all the fairies who come by to make butterfly wing soup.
Butterfly wing soup?
Yes.
Huh. That's interesting. So we sit in the audience and
Change, you will sit in the audience.
Right. No, there was more to that sentence.
Oh, sorry.
And what?
I was marching my drummer.
No. Will we see something around us in the venue, like in the sky?
Other people will be sitting around you.
Well, I know that.
And air. There will also be air.
But you can't really see air, I don't
think. Oh, but you can if you close your eyes and make sure that all of the angels who come down into the stream of life fill your cup with... different kinds of algae.
Huh.
I don't...
That's an interesting choice as well.
Yes.
Is this just mostly a concert video?
No, I will be live, and I will also be virtually real.
Bjork...
I will be literally real and virtually real.
Okay. How high should we be for this?
No one should be high when their life is filled with magic, and you will hear my songs... like Stone Milker.
Stone Milker?
That's an actual freaking song from me.
Oh, you wrote that, did you? Stone
you named
Milker?
It Stone Milker.
Stone Milker is the name of one of my songs I'll be performing.
How do you get milk from a stone?
Right?
Right?
Crazy.
That's what Bjork is saying.
I will follow that up with Boulder Creamery.
Okay.
And Pebble Soy Milk.
What's this pattern? What's happening?
These sound like ice cream flavors, Bjork.
And I want everyone to come experience the community of people joining together. And it turns out hipsters have a lot of money.
Okay, all right.
Just buy tickets and go.
Oh, wow.
Shut up and buy tickets.
Okay, all right. Take it easy, Bjork.
Mama needs a new swan dress.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 7.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Big doings tomorrow on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Really?
Big doings?
Yep.
Big doings here, right here on the big shoe, right here, coming up, the Beatles, everybody. The Beatles will be here. Sure. Big doings.
Should I go on, Ed Sullivan?
Sure.
7:20 tomorrow morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. All the details on Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Oh! Really?
Foolishness are words we haven't said in a long time, but it's that time of year. Yes, right? Thank you, Rodney. Tomorrow, 7:20, we roll out the details, who's going to be performing, and ticket on sale and all the information that you need to buy your tickets to join us for this year, our 9th year of the best comedy show in Los Angeles.
Come on, Carrot Top.
Very well. No spoilers
here. I cross my fingers, and every year I'm disappointed.
No spoilers here. We'll find out tomorrow, 7:20, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
On Yakov Smirnoff.
Oh, we wish.
Do we?
In my country, people line up for toilet paper.
I would think Yakov would be suddenly hot again with what's going on with Russia in the news.
When was he popular?
80s.
Mid-80s. Yeah.
We had him on the show in the 90s.
In America, people watch television. In my country, television watches you.
Yeah, that was his humor.
Uh-huh.
He was the "you might be a redneck if" of Russia.
It's quite a category.
I think he's still out there. I think he's still performing.
I
will end you.
Oh, yeah.
I will finish you.
Did you...
No.
Okay.
Did your friend interview Carol?
No, Carol was not there, nor was my friend. I was at dinner a couple years ago, and all of a sudden, Yakov Smirnoff was like, "Hello, ladies." And we were like, "What's happening right now?" He was performing upstairs at this little club on La Brea, and we were like, "What is the date right now? What year?"
So he was trying to get you to go upstairs?
By perform, you mean bussing tables?
No, he had like a residency at this place. Mm-hmm. I swear to God.
Yeah. And an upstairs at a Chipotle.
Was his residency Monday to Friday from 8 to 5?
He was the bartender.
Did he wear a smock?
No, this was real. I'm going to find the picture.
Great. Really looking forward to that.
In America, I take your order. In Russia, order takes you.
I swear. It happened.
Would you like more breadsticks, ladies?
Was that his act?
Who needs another cocktail? Your food will be right out.
Ellie, do you do mushrooms?
I have.
You should start.
Yeah.
If you don't.
I think it was real.
Yeah. Well, I think the last laugh is going to be tomorrow when Yakov Smirnoff's on that list we read at 7:20.
Chance the Rapper.
He's a good dude.
He is a good dude. I like him more and more, the more I know about this fella. He's giving back to his old school this week. Chicago Tribune says he held a press conference yesterday at Westcott Elementary School on the south side of Chicago, the baddest part of town.
Good.
He announced that he's giving Chicago's Public School Foundation a donation of $1 million.
What's that all about?
He wants the money to be used for arts education. Chance said, "This check is a call to action," and encouraged business owners to pitch in and help to make sure that kids of those very formative ages are still getting education in arts and music.
which studies have shown over and over and over again overwhelmingly help kids achieve not only in school but later in life.
Mm-hmm. So, although that's usually the first thing to get cut in school budgets.
Exactly. There's so many public schools throughout the country who have just had to slash physical education and arts education, and it's a shame on both fronts. So very cool for him to do to step up and give $1 million of his own money to his old elementary school at Westcott. So
I heard that Chance went to had a meeting with the governor of Illinois and was dissatisfied with the answers that he got about providing more money. What? What are you laughing at?
No, I'm just saying it's, first of all, him meeting with the governor is odd.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And he was dissatisfied with the money that was being offered in the budget. So he said, screw it, I'll give him the money myself. I mean, that's just, that's putting your money where your mouth is, right?
Strong.
Very cool.
Remakes, reboots.
You love them.
Not a big fan.
Love, love, love.
Usually I find them wildly unnecessary. This may be such a case. Anna Faris and Eugenio Derbez have announced they're going to be starring in a remake of Overboard.
Overboard?
Overboard.
I don't know what that is.
That was a Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell movie from 1987.
Is that where they fell in love? On that movie?
No, they fell in love on Night Swing Shift.
Oh.
That's when they fell in love. But, Overboard.
Impressive.
Overboard. I was impressed by that, too. Like, how does Rob know that?
It's famous. That's right. the famous story.
Sure.
It's famous.
All right.
It's famous.
You're yelling again.
Well, no things. Anyway, it wasn't a very good movie. They're a charming couple, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. I enjoy them enormously, but it's just, it's dumb. Dumb. Did I mention it was dumb?
I mean, yeah.
The premise was Goldie Hawn was a rich heiress, and Kurt Russell was the lowly captain of her yacht or something. And she falls overboard and hits her head, and she forgets that she's rich and pampered. And so he fishes her out of the water, and then he pretends that she's the mother of his kids. And he makes her cook and clean.
That's based on a true story.
It's based on a true story, yeah. Apparently, in this particular case, the roles will be reversed. And Eugenio will play a spoiled playboy from one of Mexico's wealthiest families who falls off his yacht and hits his head and then is convinced by a working-class single mom that he's her husband and parent of her child.
Come on, now. What are we watching?
Right? That's right? What we're all going to be asking when that happens. And then, on the other side, for good movies, Steven Spielberg is going to be directing a new film about the Pentagon Papers called The Post.
Kids love the Pentagon or the Pentagon's Papers?
I think they love it, Spielberg. I think they love the Pentagon Papers.
Okay.
You know, kids just devour those. it's about the published report by the Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara in 1971 revolving around U.S. military involvement in Vietnam. From 45 to 67. And famously, the Washington Post was the newspaper that broke the story. Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks will star.
Only them?
That's all that's going to be in this movie.
Hacks.
It's too good, almost.
Yeah.
And directed by Steven Spielberg.
Could have sworn I brought that up.
No, you did. I'm just recapping. Look
and
at
I
the
heard
pedigree
Tom
of this
Hanks
stuff.
And Meryl Streep are going to be starring in it as well.
I heard that as well.
Yeah, that's the rumor on the street.
Could this movie seem more timely, by the way, coming out today?
It's not
is
coming
it today?
Out today? Oh, no. They haven't even made
so
it yet.
So weird. It's coming out on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
That doesn't happen. They haven't even started shooting it. It's not coming out today.
I mean,
no
really
one.
Weird.
Don't get excited. Yeah. Don't march to your own drummer.
In this era where there is so much news about the press and what's okay to print and whatnot, I just think it seems very timely.
Yes. A story about the success of journalists doing their job. Is relevant, absolutely.
This was a success.
Yeah, I think it'll be a success. And what's up with Richard Simmons? Right?
I don't know. I'm afraid for him.
Everybody remembers Dick Simmons, right? Mm-hmm. He was the one who'd run around in little dolphin shorts, telling everyone to sweat.
Get out there, people! Come on, raise your arms and dance!
Oh, is it Sweating to the Oldies?
Sweating to the Oldies, absolutely, Kevin.
All I remember from him is him being on Letterman. All those times.
He was often on Letterman, very funny on that
Letterman
show.
Letterman would just harass him.
Yeah. And I remember you guys making him go out in the street and lie down in traffic.
We did go take a class. And we didn't really buy it.
Oh, at a Slimmin' Studios? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sorry, where was that, Ellie?
Slimmin' Studios. It was a really fun thing to do on a Saturday. Get your friends together and
dress
up. Oh, sweet
Jesus. And then go over see Yakov Smirnoff at the...
well, if you were lucky.
Skippy's Cafe.
To catch him.
Ellie knows how to live.
She does.
I just found the pictures with Yakov.
People
oh,
are...
now I hear some ugliness in your voice.
Right?
Right, Richard?
Mm. Me too.
He hasn't been out of his home since, like, 2014.
Right.
And one of his friends has come forward, People Magazine, claiming that he's being held hostage by his housekeeper.
Oh, no.
Mauro Oliveira says that, he said it on a recent podcast, that he went to visit Richard Simmons, and Simmons told him, I called you here because we cannot see each other anymore. I'm going to just stay here. And this guy tried to get Richard to talk to him in another room, and his housekeeper started screaming, saying, no, 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 get out. I don't want him here. And Richard looked at me and said, you've got to go. I said, really? Is she controlling your life now? He said, yes, you have to leave.
Wow.
And that was the last he talked to him.
So, wow.
Now, other sources are saying that's not the case. Richard made a choice to live a more private life. But something seems weird, right? Something's up.
I mean, there's living a private life, and then there's never leaving your home.
Yeah, something's up.
Very different.
This has been in the news a lot lately. Maybe, Ralph, this is what prompted the story you read, because of the new podcast that's kind of bringing new attention to this, the Missing Richard Simmons podcast, apparently a lot of people are really interested in.
That's where this guy is from.
Trying to track down.
Oliveira's.
He does it. Okay.
This is the guy. He said these things in his podcast. So, Richard Simmons. Right.
What do you guys think is happening here?
I have no idea. Unless maybe he got big and fat. If he's big and fat, then I can't imagine he'd want to be seen by anybody because of his long-standing battle for physical fitness and everything that he would be too ashamed to be seen.
Wow, maybe. I could see that.
If he got big and fat.
I mean, he was so, and it's possible people listening, a lot of them don't even remember Richard Simmons now, but he was so public. He was on every TV show all the time. He was literally at his studio teaching classes all the time. He'd spend hours every day calling up people around the world to give them support. And then he just dropped off the radar almost like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Very, very mysterious.
And a lot of this. Too. Just saying. He would work out a lot. Right, Dick? Come on, Dick. Dick Simmons, everybody, put your hands together. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Where's the kids' applause when you need
right.
it? Right.
They don't like Richard Simmons. They don't want to sweat. They don't want to get off your fat asses, kids, and sweat to the oldies with Dick Simmons. Bryan Cranston, 61 years old today as we look at his celebrity birthdays. Wanda Sykes turns 53. Rachel Weisz is 47 years old today and is just lovely as she could be. Peter Sarsgaard. Is 47 as well. Jenna Fisher turns 43. And Laura Prepon from famously That 70s Show, now Orange is the New Black. She's 37. And Ralph Garman will walk the showbiz beat.
the King of Mexico's in here. Hey, Dave. How you doing, Dave?
It'll get a mic.
Are you crying like a little baby, Dave?
I cry once in a movie and I get this.
You don't tell people here that you cry. Really? Ever.
Listen, man. Ever. I'm comfortable with my emotions.
We're catching up. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. We were catching up with everybody after the weekend. Hey, what'd you do? Hey, where'd you go? Hey, who'd you see? Oh, you went to the movies? Oh, what'd you see? And Dave said that he went to see Logan, as many people did, by the way. $85 million Logan made, Kevin. I don't know if you heard over the weekend. Huge. And apparently it's just great. One of the best superhero movies of all time. But the last thing I expected to hear was that Dave said he cried at Logan. This is a Wolverine movie, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And this is Dave.
And this is Dave, right?
Ah.
Who's a heartless bastard.
Right?
Right. I would not have put those two together. Now, without spoiling it, because a lot of people still haven't had the opportunity to go see it, Dave, you weren't expecting that when you went in, right?
No, I was expecting, like, I knew there was going to be some gore, and I was expecting Wolverine to chop people's arms off and heads off and stuff like that, and that came through. Like, that was awesome. That was a great part of the movie. Mm-hmm. But at the end, you know, there's this actress. She's new, I guess. Her name's Daphne Keene. She plays the little girl
in
Wolverine.
She's a little girl, okay.
The interaction between her and Hugh Jackman is just so damn good that it left a tear in my eye.
Was it
and
a
I started,
tear?
No.
Or were we bawling?
No.
Really?
I'm trying to save myself here, Kevin.
Like heaving sobs.
Well, not
heaving sobs.
No, I
did everybody else in the theater know you were crying?
I do a pretty good job.
No.
Okay. No, I do a pretty good job of like going like, ooh, what's on the floor right now? You know, and start looking away.
That's your move.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Yeah, I'm not looking away. So I go
what's
with
on the floor of a movie theater.
You know, I go with Christine who works here with us and. I look at her, and her eyes are just glowing, full of tears, and a stream coming down.
We expect that from her.
So, yeah. So, I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one.
That happens
like,
to her in every single movie.
Yeah,
it happens to her in everything.
She's a sensitive soul. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
You're not.
But then
at all.
I go, okay, so it's okay. And I look at the person at the who was a seat away from me, and she was crying, and the guy was like pinching himself. And so I wasn't
really?
The only one. Yes, I wasn't the only one.
So he was pinching himself, I assume, so that he wouldn't cry?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what he was doing.
That makes sense.
I saw him, like, grabbing his arm. Like, and I was like, what are you doing? I was like, I tried
so
it. It didn't work.
Let me understand. And by the way, the topic is you cried at a movie that you were surprised that you cried at. You did not expect that this was going to be a tearjerker. Look, some movies you go in and you know it's a weeper, all right? Yeah. This was not that. That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. You were surprised at the movie that you cried at. Now, let me get back to Logan for 1 second. I appreciate no spoilers here. Was it just the relationship between the father and the daughter was close or sensitive or emotional? Like, what was going on that hit you like that?
Or can
you not say?
Well, I mean, it's just the interaction between this girl who didn't speak for half the movie, and then all of a sudden, kind of like Silent Bob, when she speaks, it's important, you know?
Oh, I cried at that.
Silent Bob?
Yeah.
Sure. So when she starts talking, you're just like, oh, this girl's damn cute. And then what's happening in the movie? You're just like, no!
I got you.
So that's my review. It's
got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Now, Kevin,
how do you put that on a poster?
You have said in the past, when it comes to movies, that your soft spot is anything that has to do with daughters.
Yes.
Little girls.
Because I have daughters.
You raise girls, so it hits you hard when you see
them. I cry, just at the drop of a hat. And I don't even look down at the floor to see what's on the floor of a movie theater.
No.
You're not hiding.
I don't have any option.
Yeah.
Is it true that for some reason you cry at the last King Kong movie, though?
The bad one, the Peter Jackson one.
I mean, I remember us having this conversation.
Yes?
I can't imagine why I cried at that.
Well, I didn't see it.
But I assume I did because I told you that.
I didn't see it, but I mean, do bad things happen to the monkey? I mean, I would imagine that would be a very sad thing to watch.
Well, there's humans in it, too.
Right, but you root for King Kong. Right. King Kong gets a raw deal in every single King Kong movie.
Yeah.
The humans are the enemy in those films.
Honestly, I don't know for sure what
it was. What I remember, it was King Kong ice skating in the pond, and then you just lost it. I don't know why, but...
I must have blocked this out after the very painful conversation we had here on the air.
Before we go to your calls at 1-800...
Also, by the way, I cried at Brothers Grimsby. I cried at that.
Oh, the elephant scene.
You'll never look at an elephant again the same way.
My bad. Go ahead.
Before we go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067, Allie has an interesting one that in a million years, I never would have predicted that you would have cried at, especially at this part of the movie.
What do you mean you can't?
I can't. Just hearing it. Okay, maybe as soon as that crawl started during Force Awakens, I started sobbing. Just tears streaming down my face. And I think it was just the excitement of, oh my God, it's back. We
it's
have these
actually
people
happening.
Back. It's happening. But as soon as that crawl started, I was like... And I know other people did. You're a liar if you're...
I can sort of see that as you have been looking forward to it, not only forever, but for the last, year and a half, where it was just...
Yes.
Trailers would come out every couple of months. And
you were crying from happiness, though.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, there was nothing happening in the movie.
No, it's just the crawl starting.
It was just the crawl. Okay.
Just excited. All right. Well, why don't we transition into Ian from Redondo... Oh, is this a safe Ian or is this a dangerous Ian? Is Ian okay?
I assume so.
Okay, let's go to Ian. He's on line 6.
Never assume that. It's Muggs.
While we're talking about
I'm being waved off, Bean.
Oh, so we don't want this.
Right.
Ian. He's the bad Ian.
Right.
Okay. All right.
He could be.
Let's go to Frank in Montebello then. He's on line 5. He'll be our first caller here on K-Rock.
Sorry, everybody, for that whole thing. Hey, Frank.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. All right, so you cried at what?
So I didn't expect to cry at Arrival when I initially saw it.
Arrival? Okay.
Arrival, yeah. So I heard such good things about it, but I didn't I didn't know what it was. I was just expecting an alien invasion movie. But it's much more than that, especially in the heaps of the presidential elections. You know, that's when it came out.
Right.
But it's such a beautifully written movie. It sets up some breadcrumbs throughout the movie, and the audience is confused as to what that means about the characters.
Right.
Hmm. And at the end of the movie, you finally find out what all of it means, and it's such a beautifully written story.
It's so weird that I saw a different film called Arrival recently. I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
I think I agree. I remember that being very touching. I don't think I cried, but I remember it being really, really touching.
Yeah, I thought it was just really beautiful at the end.
You didn't expect to cry when you went to Arrival. You had no idea.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you cry during the opening credits like Ali?
I did not cry in the opening credits. Okay. I also agree with Dave, though, because Logan was without spoiling anything, Logan was such a beautiful tribute to not only Hugh Jackman's time as Wolverine, but Patrick Stewart's time as Charles Xavier, because they've been in the same roles for 17 years, you know. So
Frank has a lot of feelings, you guys.
Frank feels a lot, you guys, and I
love
that.
He really does. All right, sir. Thank you.
No,
I
love Frank.
Are you
going to
cry right now, dude?
Like, talking about it.
You're fine, Frank.
You're great, Frank.
You're absolutely fine, and we thank you for listening, and we thank you for calling. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Got some great ones on here, by the way. Like, who cries at Trainwreck? We need to talk to Claudia and more when we return right after this on K-Rock.
Stop it.
She's crying again.
You guys.
She's crying again. Oh. Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. We're talking about movies that you did not expect to cry at. It happened to Dave over the weekend at Logan, along with assistant producer Christine, by the way. They were both bawling like babies after seeing that movie. Ali crawled just at the beginning of A Force
cried.
Awakens.
Cried. You
cried,
said
crawled. Yes.
Yeah.
Cried,
she
yeah.
may have crawled, too. I don't know.
I might have.
She may have. Raul writes in, hey, Kevin and Bean and Ali, I cried at the end of Pursuit of Happiness when Will Smith's character finally got the job. I felt like a total puss, just like Dave should today. So
here's
bringing some judgment down.
What was the name of that?
Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah, Pursuit of Happiness. Yeah. I didn't see because it's about a dad losing his kids. Like, I had no interest.
You knew
in
you would cry if you saw that.
I just didn't even want to see it.
Why are you crying now?
Let's talk about movies you never expect to cry. And let's start with Claudia. She's in East L.A. She's our train wreck girl. And let's try to figure out how you cry at train wreck. Even if you're trying to, how do you do that? Claudia, enlighten us. What happened?
Good morning, guys. I've been listening for over 20 years. I love you guys.
Thank you, Claudia.
I was totally surprised. I was watching it on Netflix or Hulu or something and just wanted to laugh, and by the end of the movie, when she does the cheerleading scene, I was ugly crying. Like, it was
ugly crying.
Aww.
I like that.
Yeah.
What do you think it was about that scene that affected you like that? Because I mean, it was a change in her character, a little bit of redemption for the kind of person she was. But it was hardly a weepy moment.
Yeah. Well, I think I just related to her character throughout the whole movie, and at the end, you know, I was hoping for a happy ending. I wasn't sure because it's Amy Schumer, so I'm like, you know, she's not going to end up with the guy, but she did, and just the way that she realized, you know, her own issues and how it was affecting the relationship.
Claudia went deep on train wreck. I like it.
All right, Claudia, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Let's go to LA Line 7. This is going to be Marabella. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Marabella. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What movie were you surprised you cried at?
I was surprised I cried at Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures?
Yes.
You were so sad those black ladies were good at math.
No.
No, her
did you watch the movie, Bean?
No, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out how.
It's a really moving story of these three black women at NASA, and it really is. I mean, they put up with so much crap, and basically they're the ones that got the space program going. So it was very moving.
The scene where they all moved buildings and you saw them all move as one into the new building?
No, it was when she was ranting about the coffee, and she had just gotten back from the bathroom, and he asked her why she was always away, and I know. That
was a beautiful scene. That was probably one of the best scenes of the whole movie.
Yeah, the reason that she was exploding at that moment is because Kevin Costner's character was bawling her out for not being there, and she had to go a long way.
To a different campus.
To find a... Let me finish.
to find a black restroom.
I get it.
A colored
yeah.
restroom.
I get it. It sounds like we'll allow it, Mirabella. You're allowed to cry at Hidden Figures. Thank you for the call.
Were you mad that black ladies were good at math?
I was just trying to figure out. I wanted her to tell us. Let's go to Michael Simi Valley. He's on line 5. This is one I think is going to be a surprise for a lot of people. Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Allie, good morning.
Hey.
Well.
So my girlfriend at the time took me to see Captain America Civil War when it first came out.
I thought that was an awesome movie, but...
It was awesome. Where did you... I loved it.
Where did you cry?
All right, so the part where Tony Stark meets Peter Parker for the first time in New York, I started crying, I'm not going to lie. It was like, I don't know, I felt really emotional because everyone had always been like, oh, Spider-Man's supposed to be in the Marvel movies, but, you know, it never happened. So I looked at my girlfriend at the time, and I just started crying. She looked at me, she's like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I don't know, like, this is just really emotional. And, yeah, I started crying during
Captain America. You sound insane.
No.
Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
I love comic books.
Well, I mean, I think that's clear.
Yeah, it is. I'm just stunned that somebody who tears up over Spider-Man has a girlfriend.
Not just tearing up over Spider-Man, just tearing up that Spider-Man was in a Marvel movie, like the Marvel Studios movie. That's it, right?
I was like, wow, I can't believe Peter Parker's finally going to be in a Marvel movie.
Stop judging Michael, you guys.
Did you cry during the Homecoming trailer, too?
I think we'll allow this.
Yes, we will.
I didn't expect it. I knew he was going to be in it, but when the Homecoming trailer, when I saw the Homecoming trailer, I was like, oh, cool, it's Spider-Man. When I finally saw it, I was like, oh, my God.
All right, I'm going to speak before Bean does, and I'm going to say we'll allow it.
We'll allow it, Michael. You feel anything you want to feel.
All right. He has been vetted. It is good, Ian, on line 6, please. This is Redondo Beach.
Hey, Ian.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. So what movie did you unexpectedly cry at?
Well, I actually have two for you if you'll wait, but the first one I called in about was Rogue One.
Was it at the exact same moment as Allie did when it basically
No, that was a Force Awakens for Allie.
No, sorry, Force Awakens didn't have a crawl.
Got it.
Wait, what?
I'm sorry, that was me. Rogue One, where did you cry?
Near the end when Baze takes up Chirrut's chant after Chirrut dies. The two Asian characters, if you're lost.
All right, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, what's the other film?
The other film is actually the first Harry Potter film.
Okay.
Right at the very beginning, when Hagrid touches the bricks and they start opening up and you see Hogsmeade for the first time, I was just gone.
Hmm.
I was so happy.
Is that because you had read the book and now it was actually happening on screen?
I could not believe it. Yeah, I was blown away. And it's just...
You know what? I think we're going to have to say this is the bad Ian now.
Yeah, I think they're all bad Ians.
Awful! You guys, just let
There's no
men
such
have
thing
feelings.
As a good Ian. I'm sorry.
Ian. Thank you for calling.
Hey, tomorrow morning, you guys, at this time, you will know who's going to be playing the 9th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Concert. How about that?
This one of my favorite things of the year.
I love 9th annual. Really,
love it so much.
Wow.
Are you surprised by that, Allie?
I am.
I am too. Yeah. I would have said 6 or 7 times.
We will have that announcement for you at 7:20 tomorrow morning. Who's on the lineup this year and when tickets go on sale? We hope that you will join us and we hope that you'll be here tomorrow for the announcement. That's going to be fun. Hey, director Danny Boyle joins us next hour. And just after 8 o'clock, the Bachelor Report with Ralph and Petros breaking down last night's all new Bachelor and The Girls Tell All.
Here's the headline. Alabama Theater won't screen Beauty and the Beast due to Josh Gad's gay character.
How many times do I have to tell you Josh Gad ruins everything that he's in?
First of all, that's stupid. We all love him.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot. Second of all, it's the first time I guess Disney has had a gay character, and so this guy is not going to show it in his movie theater.
Because the Bible. Right. Look, here's the thing. It's not a homosexual porn movie. There's no kissing. There's no hand holding. It's just a character LeFou who has a crush on a character Gaston. That's all that's going on in this movie. It's very reflective of real life. But the Henniger Drive-In Theater in Henniger, Alabama, says that it will not be screening the movie. When companies continually force their views on us, we need to take a stand. We all make choices, and I am making mine. If we can't take our 11-year-old granddaughter and our 8-year-old grandson to see a movie, we have no business watching it. And here's my favorite part. If I can't sit through a movie with God or Jesus sitting by me, then we have no business showing it.
Oh.
Does he –
Does he think that if he takes his kids or grandkids that they're, while watching that movie, they're just going to turn gay?
I don't.
Obviously.
I can't imagine what he thinks. So we asked Dave, is there any chance we can talk to Luke Braxton? He is the manager of the Henniger Drive-In Theater in Henniger, Alabama, and he joins us on the phone right now. Mr. Braxton, thank you very much for coming on today.
You're welcome. What can I do for you?
Well, if I can't sit through a movie with God or Jesus sitting by me, then we have no business showing it. Can you explain that, please?
I think it's pretty self-explanatory myself. If I can't watch a movie and have God and Jesus sitting next to me, then I'm not going to show that movie in my theater.
We will not compromise on what the Bible teaches,
yeah,
you say.
That's correct. We are first and foremost Christians, and we will not show films that have filthy homosexuality in them, like this Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, first of all, homosexuality isn't filthy. And second of all, what?
Sorry?
And second of all, there isn't...
Sorry, I just thought about it again.
Are you okay, Luke?
Yeah, but I can't think about it.
Right, but you look, you don't turn gay because, because there are gay people on the screen.
Oh, okay, Dr. Science Head. I guess you know everything. I guess you know how it works. I happen to know if you see something a little bit gay, there's an excellent chance that you yourself could also be gay.
There's no truth to that statement at all.
Or is there?
There isn't.
There's not.
But is there?
No. But it's not, that's not how it works at all.
What if?
But it isn't, though.
Are you willing to take that chance?
Yes.
I am not, sir. I remember I once saw me West Side Story, and next thing I knew, I was dancing and going da-da-da-da-da, and that's gay.
There's nothing wrong with dancing and singing.
Oh!
It's dancing and singing. It's...
Just turn it off. You can do it.
We are not. Listen, if God is not sitting next to me watching a movie.
Right, we heard that.
He is not eating some popcorn with me and talking during the trailers. I am not interested in the film. And we will not be showing none of no more's Disney's homosexual agenda films.
I'm a little bit surprised, sir, that God talks during the trailers. I felt like he would be more considerate than that.
Trust me, blah blah blah. Oh, how you doing? How you gonna doing? Are you doing good? You want to get into heaven? You got to do this. Oh, here's my commandments. Blah blah blah. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to see what's coming up next week.
So you're yelling at God?
Well, I don't yell. I respectfully ask him to shush.
Okay.
Is it possible?
This is not the only Disney film, by the way, that has all the gay in it.
Mm-hmm.
We won't be showing Aladdin.
Well, now, what's wrong with Aladdin?
Oh, dear Lord. Have you seen him with his pointy shoes and his fluffy pants and his little vest he wears with no shirt underneath it?
Yes.
Like a damn Village People video. And he hangs out with his big buff guy, blue buff guy, that he met by rubbing his lamp. Come on, gay!
It's just a fairy tale. It's not even real.
Oh, no.
You're damn right.
Don't do it.
And no more Donald Duck, neither. Why are you even wearing no pants? Gay?
He's a cartoon duck.
And Toy Story. Oh, I got to see Woody. You want to show me a Woody? I'll show you a Woody right here.
Okay. You're not making
Buzz,
any sense.
Buzz, vibrator, pervert, thank you.
His name is Buzz, like the astronaut Buzz Aldrin.
Astronaut! You said it!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52. At 9 o'clock this morning, we'll hook you up with your tickets for Incubus and Jimmy Eat World playing the Hollywood Bowl, and you'll be eligible to see them in New Orleans, Louisiana. It's destination number 6 at the K-Rock Wheels Up 2017.
You get to stay with Bean, too, as well.
Yeah, I don't think so that's fun.
Really fun that's time. Actually, Bean's going to take you out.
He'll show you the sights. Nightlife. Show you his town.
That's not part of the deal.
Yeah, he'll show beads, you some nipples.
Right?
Yeah, if you throw him beads.
I think just one, though.
Just the one.
Just the one. Left one.
I hope the winner has a good time. Unfortunately, I will be unable to join them in any of their nonsense. However,
any of their nonsense.
You know how people.
That's what the rest of us call fun.
What a right. Winner! Revelry. What a winner you are.
When they come to New Orleans, it's just nonsense. Anyway, before the giveaway at 9 o'clock, we got the great director, Oscar winner Danny Boyle, is going to be joining us in studio.
Oh, Danny Boyle.
Nope, Danny Boyle.
I'm sorry. My mistake.
And Ralph and Petra's breakdown last night's very exciting Bachelor episode. That's coming up first time for the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
I'm sorry. I was a little late running in here because
IHOP just delivered us so many pancakes.
Oh, fantastic.
I don't know what to do with them all.
National Pancake Day.
It's National Pancake Day, and we've got so many pancakes now in the other room.
All right.
You're so mean.
With a variety of delicious syrups.
Sweet.
That I don't know what we're going to do with them all.
I mean, we'll try and eat them.
We'll eat as many as we can. And Beer Mug, we're going to set up Beer Mug, I think. He's going to be eating them live on Facebook.
Yummy.
And I guess the rest we'll just have to get rid of somehow.
Well, no, don't.
Probably.
Don't get rid of. You don't want to waste a pancake.
You want us to mail them to you? No, oh, Bean, you don't have pancakes from IHOP? IHOP didn't deliver pancakes to you?
I don't.
They didn't bring you delicious, hot, steamy pancakes with a variety of syrups and a caddy, and a syrup caddy?
I think they just delivered them right there to the station.
Oh, they didn't get it. So you don't have any hot, delicious pancakes from IHOP?
I actually do not have
them. I thought they were your favorite.
Yeah, but
that's toast.
That's your favorite food of all time.
Well, I love pancakes more than I love any other food, but I don't currently have
them. You don't have them like we have them here in the studio?
That's odd.
We have so many in the other room.
I would think of all of us, Bean would have them, and the rest of us wouldn't.
Right, but look at all the pancakes.
Kevin, we got yours coming.
Wow, look at all the pancakes we have.
Stacks
and stacks of fluffy, hot, delicious pancakes.
Wow, this is great.
Yeah.
I got to say, IHOP makes some of the best pancakes in the business.
They sure do. It's delicious. So we're...
God, it's almost too much pancake right in this container.
I know.
Just for me.
What are we going to do with all these pancakes?
Well, enjoy that, you guys.
And I heard the toast truck is pulling up outside.
Yes.
Just that truck, you know, one of the food trucks. Just toast, I think it's called. It's shaped like a big toaster.
Sounds like a bad day to not be at K-Rock.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Sounds like.
While we're talking food, hey, Eminem, stop it.
Uh-oh.
Stop it. What's he doing?
Dumbass Eminem. Not Eminem the rapper.
Oh.
While we're talking about food, Eminem's stop it.
Oh.
See, the tie in there was food, Kevin.
What's he doing? Yeah, I know, Allie. You thought the same thing. Look, you're so... Anyway,
I would have if you hadn't prefaced the sentence with speaking of food.
All right, Bean, we get it.
But speaking of food, and then the joke was that it was about Eminem the guy. Well done. But it wasn't.
Newly announced this week, Eminem's Strawberry Nut.
Oh.
The new Strawberry Nut Eminem's.
I mean, I'll try it.
No, you won't. Stop it.
Of course I will.
You're part of the problem.
What's wrong with you? Of course I will.
Why?
Because they're M&Ms.
But they're strawberry nut M&Ms.
Yeah, that sounds
nothing
gross.
Bad there.
That doesn't sound gross.
No.
Strawberry and then the chocolate and a nut.
Yeah. I'm in.
And, may I ask you, what was wrong with good old M&Ms before this?
They still exist.
Yeah, but we don't need strawberry nut M&Ms.
Well, I'll be the judge of that.
No, I will be the judge of that, and we don't need them and don't eat them.
Oh.
Strawberry nut M&Ms.
Nope.
So I'm saying, yep.
Stop it.
No, this is what happens. Next thing you know, that's why how we got Peep Oreos. It's this kind of crap. Just stay in your lane, M&Ms. You know that chocolate you put inside the candy shell? Just do that. And then once in a while, put some peanuts in them. And then just mind your own business. Stay out of the strawberry nut business.
I'm going to try it. I'm going to give it a try. I'm open-minded.
Stop it.
You, sir?
Yep.
Nope.
No.
While we're talking about M&Ms.
And we're going to stop it.
Demi Lovato is proud of her strong, fit body. God bless her.
I am too.
She,
oh, Lord.
She's taking some heat over her Snapchat post over the weekend, but she's standing by it. It's a picture of her with her legs.
Good.
With the caption, thick thighs save lives. Was her
Demi Lovato.
Was her slogan. And some people are trying to body shame her, but she's standing by it, and she says she's proud of her her thicker thighs. So thick thighs save lives. Kevin, could you say that three times fast for me?
I can't say it once. Slow.
Come on, try it.
Thick thighs save lives. It's very easy.
Two more,
if you
fast.
Slow it down
two
a
more,
lot.
Two more, fast.
Thick thighs save lives. I was pretty close.
Very close.
Thick thighs save lives.
Oh!
Wow.
Nice.
All right. Suck it! All right, three times now. Three times.
No, that was three.
Thick thighs
save
lives. Thick thighs save lives. Thick thighs save lives.
All right, nope.
Do it.
Nope.
Come on.
Thick thighs save lives. Thick thighs save lives. Thick thighs save lives. I mean, it was close.
How thick is it?
I'm putting that in the win column.
You have the widest win column. There's a lot of wiggle room in that column.
Sometimes you need it.
All right.
If you're me, you always need it.
You want to try it, Allie?
No.
Come on. Thick thighs save lives. Thick thighs save lives. Thick thighs save lives.
Thick thighs save lives. Thick thighs.
Yes.
God damn it, it's catching.
First and me.
Thick thighs save
lives. Meaty, juicy.
Bean?
Thick fives.
Nope.
I'm sorry. I just like to
you should
jump in here.
You should, Kevin.
So Ralph is first.
Yep.
Am I indeed second?
You are.
I think you are.
You are.
Ahead of Allie and B.
Yes. All right. B didn't get through the second word.
Right?
Right. You know those thick fives.
Win column.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bryan Cranston. How much do we love him?
He's the best. All.
He really
He's
is
great
the best.
In everything.
Look at him.
Yeah.
And who he is.
Yeah.
And what he has become.
Mm-hmm.
And where he came from. He was the dad on Malcolm in the Middle.
He sure was.
He was a goofy sitcom dad, and now he's one of the finest actors of our generation. So don't judge too quickly, I say.
Were we judging him on Malcolm in the Middle?
Well, I'm just saying. Okay. Even though Malcolm in the Middle was like a goofy Fox sitcom, and everyone's like, oh, he's goofy, funny.
Right.
But no one knew the level of talent that lurked beneath the surface. So give him the opportunity. Some actors can surprise you.
You know Jimmy Kimmel's Feast of San Gennaro?
I do know it, yes.
I sat by him, by Bryan Cranston, at the table, and I thought, you know, say hi, say you like his work, but don't annoy him.
Yeah.
Just a couple of words and fine.
You're great. Just do that.
Pretty much, yeah. Started talking to me back, and I swear to God, he was sort of leading the conversation. He was fine to talk to me, and I'm nobody, and he's Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know it.
He made a poor choice.
He made a poor choice, it turns out, in retrospect, but he's the nicest person in the world.
Yeah, good man. 61 years old today. Happy birthday, Bryan. Wanda Sykes is 53. Rachel Weisz turns 47, as does Peter Sarsgaard. Jenna Fischer, who we loved on The Office, coming back to television soon. She's 43. And Laura Prepon from Orange is the New Black is 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7.
Come on, Kevin.
K-Rock.
It's KROQ.
It's National Pancake Day, Bean.
LNOC's alternative rock.
But he barely shows up. When he does, he could at least try. Come on. He's trying.
I'm trying to eat.
Trying to swallow. That's what he's trying to do.
I'm sorry if the show is getting in the way of your celebration of National Pancake Day. All right, I'll handle this. It's Tuesday morning, just after 8 o'clock. You know what that means. Hit it, Steve.
It's time. We got the Big P and Gar, man. And they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking hallelujah. Crying hallelujah.
Woo!
Girls crazy hallelujah.
Woo!
The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to you.
Woo!
The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to you. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to you. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
As usual, we are joined by our good friend Petros Papadakis, the co-host of the Petros and Money Radio Show, heard weekly afternoons at AM 570 LA Sports. Hey, P, good morning.
Morning, everybody. Enjoy your pancakes. I got a steamy stack right here.
Oh.
Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Last night, Pete.
Is it not National Pancake Day?
It is, sir.
It is.
Well, I thought I was tripping for a second.
No. Last night, Pete, we had three glorious hours of Bachelor goodness to sit through.
Dude.
It was awesome.
That's a lot of Bachelor, and they kill a lot of time, Ralph. We could have got it done in an hour and a half.
I don't think so. I loved every minute of it. We had the Bachelor episode, which, of course, was the two remaining overnight dates. Raven had hers last week. We had Rachel and Vanessa.
Now, was that the first
Come
hour
on with the eating
before the men all tell everything?
The men all tell everything. Yeah.
Was the Bachelor first and then the 2 hours?
The Bachelor episode came first and then Women Tell All.
Women Tell Kevin. All.
Did you see the mystery man in the crowd at the Women Tell All? Only you guys will care about this.
Wearing the Make America Corinne Again hat?
No, it was Steve Hartman. Ask Hartman.
Oh,
Steve
guy? Hartman.
Yeah, he was in the crowd.
Wow, good eye.
I guess it only matters if you're a sports talk radio
person. Okay. We appreciate you bringing that up.
How many of our listeners do you think are that?
Ask Hartman.
Right. So Nick and Rachel are on their date. And I don't know if you know this or not, P, but Nick is white and Rachel is African-American.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people, they don't seem to focus on that at all. But
they're going to tell every white guy that she's black beforehand on The Bachelor.
Sure.
When it starts, The Bachelorette.
It is embarrassing how often they bring that up.
While they're on their date, Rachel mentions that Nick is a sensitive guy. He's an open guy. He's very forthcoming with his feelings. And that's kind of rare.
You're rare.
Thank you.
And refreshing. That's not normal. Not used to that at all.
I might be white, but I'm still a minority.
I might be white, but I'm still a minority.
Yeah. That's not a terrible line, by the way, from Nick. What? Considering how dumb Nick is, that's not a terrible line.
You think he needs to identify the fact that he's white to his black girlfriend?
He was making a joke, I think.
Who's
I'll allow
defending
it.
This guy?
Bean, that's right? That would be Bean.
That would be Bean.
This guy is the scum. He's the dirt on our shoe. He's the worst.
Well, here's the thing.
He's a total zero.
Rachel's obviously in third place in this triumvirate of women he's got left.
There's no passion.
And well, he backs her up against the wall and basically forces her to tell him that she loves him.
Ooh.
Even though you can sense that he's cutting her. You can see the writing on the wall, and yet he still does it. I thought it was remarkably cruel on his part. Here it is.
If you were to check your ego at the door, what would your heart say?
What?
Yeah, you can't say that.
No. That's what our answer should have been.
Then, wow. Then we move on to Vanessa.
You have that kind of language on the AM band, P?
No.
The lovely Canadian Vanessa. They're there at the Lapland Spas. They go to a Lapland Spa. You know what that is? You're in the sauna. You go in the sauna, and then you're right into the cold plunge, back and forth.
Ooh.
Sauna, cold plunge.
She's hot, Ralph.
She's way hot, P. Ralph, she's amazing.
That you know, I've been very, very iffy on her because of the shape of her jaw, which is like that old moose jaw in Canada, you know. But when I saw that one piece slapped on her, I was very excited.
All right. So they go into the cold plunge, and here's the thing. She's more of a man than Nick is. She's getting in the sauna. She's hopping in the cold plunge. She's like, this is fun. Nick's like, I'm so cold. Here's Vanessa.
I can do this another four times, but Nick is just not as eager to do it as I am right now.
Because he's a wussy, that's why.
She's being kind.
Yeah, she was. These two have a lot of chemistry, but there's no way they can make a life work together. Everything is opposite with them. She loves family. He hates family. She wants to be close to her people. He doesn't want to spend any time with his people. And they haven't even talked about if they were to get married, where they would live. He said, I will do anything for the woman I love. And she said, okay, would you move to Canada?
Why is this something that you can't picture yourself doing?
I mean, not to sound corny, but I'm like really proud to be an American,
and I'm very proud to be a Canadian.
I'm not saying you're not. You just asked.
I just won't move for you. There's no way they can make this
be
work.
Be an American, where at least I look. Who? I mean, if you're from Milwaukee, maybe this is just a coast kind of view. But if you're from Milwaukee, what's the difference between Milwaukee and Vancouver?
There is none.
Vancouver is much better.
Yes.
Yeah, it's by the water, isn't right. it? It's got like an island, and it's cold. Okay, whatever.
It's a beautiful city.
So Nick cuts Rachel, sends her home after forcing her to say she loves him, and this was their farewell. This was his farewell speech to her, which sounds to me like he's just setting himself up for a booty call in the future.
You're one of the most incredible women I've ever met in my life. I'm just really lucky to have had you in my life.
Yes.
Selfishly, I hope someday this won't be a goodbye forever.
Hopefully this won't be a goodbye forever in the future.
What? Hey, look, this guy, here's a reference you guys are going to love. This will be a home run.
Okay.
This guy cries more than Dick Vermeil.
Only I get that, P.
I don't know. Really? That's a success to you, P?
That was huge for me. How does he turn? But he does turn it on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know how this guy cried. Like, you know, I can barely squeeze out tears at a relative's funeral.
No, on a dime, this guy can cry.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So he's like, I don't hope this isn't a goodbye forever. He's sending her home with plans of marrying another woman. That's the premise.
Sure.
That is goodbye forever.
Sure.
But he's like, I don't know, maybe I'll give you a call later.
Look,
hey,
you up? Hey, you up?
He's going to be texting her.
There's a hotel at the airport. We've all been there.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You got to leave your options open.
Then we moved on to the Women Tell All, and this is where Chris Harrison earns his money, people. It was insane. I've never seen a gaggle of women go at it like this.
Is that right?
All night long, he was just an air traffic controller. The majority of the show sounded like this.
So it was more like a disrespect for people who were...
Wait, I told you guys what happened. I never...
Okay, you told us, but you're telling everyone else you took a nap. A nap is...
Hold on, hey guys, hold on one second.
That's a nap.
Jasmine Hawk.
Exactly. It's a disrespect for it. Exactly.
Wow.
Why are they so mad about naps?
Wow.
Because Corinne took naps.
So what?
Allie, wow. That's a crime against love.
They would hate me.
Wait, and that was 2 hours? That
here, show? Here's some more.
No.
All right, guys.
Wow. It's like moderating the Republican debate.
Here's no, thank you. Nuts how they kept talking over each other.
It was very upsetting. It was like watching a chicken coop be attacked by a wolf. It was horrible.
Then Liz got on to defend her sex, having sex with him, and said, you shouldn't slut shame me just because I had sex with The Bachelor.
She was gunned up like a battleship.
She was. And she was very upset with people who talked about the fact that she had sex with Nick, even though she got herself on the show to talk about the fact that she had had sex with Nick before.
Right.
If you want to be private about your private life, you can't go on television and talk about it in front of millions of people and then complain when you get talked about.
Sure.
And then, of course, Corinne. The return of Corinne.
Yes.
Make America Corinne again. She was attacked. For being rude and saying bad things about people and talking smack about people.
And the napping.
And the napping. She had to defend her napping. Look, Michael Jordan naps. Abraham Lincoln napped. Mm-hmm. Right?
Two good choices.
That was her defense.
What?
Oh, that's right. And here she was saying she was as pure as the driven snow.
I never spoke a bad word about anyone in the house. Ever. And until you started treating me like a piece of trash.
Trash? So it was a self-defense. It was all in self-defense, her obnoxious, completely outrageous and inappropriate
That's
behavior.
What it was, huh?
Yes.
Hmm.
They showed her drunken lean into the camera and the cupping of her own chest maybe 1,000 times last
night. I may have to go back and watch.
She does like to grab her own boobs a lot.
So did we make any progress? One person got kicked off, right?
Rachel's gone.
So how many weeks do we have
now
left?
Now we're down to the final two.
So we have like 8 weeks?
Raven and Vanessa, next week on the 13th of March, in a very special episode, Nick will choose which woman he wants to continue down the path of matrimony with and spend the rest of his life with this beautiful, beautiful woman. And then, of course, after the final rose, we'll have a live show after that, and then we'll talk all about it.
Sure. Okay. Now, do I understand correctly from our point of view, next Tuesday morning, Ralph, you're welcoming a special guest to the Kevin and Bean Bachelor Report as well.
Crispy Harrison himself, host of The Bachelor, will be on our show.
I feel like maybe we don't need Pete for that day.
I think we need Pete in here.
Grand
I boycott. I'll turn my back on Joseph McCarthy.
Oh, my Lord.
Holy crap.
Dick Vermeil and Tail Gunner Joe. Those are your references today.
You're bringing it, Pete.
The Red Scare.
All right. Petros does his own Bachelor Report on his own show at 5 p.m. on AM 570. Correct this afternoon, Pete?
I guess.
All right. Fantastic.
There's a Dodger game before us, so I don't know when it's going to be over.
All right. I'm sorry I asked you anything at all. Thanks, guys. See you next week. Every once in a while, we look at our calendar. We have a guest on the schedule. We know it's a red letter day. It's always a thrill to welcome this man back to the studio. One of our favorite directors, Academy Award winner, Danny Boyle, is back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Very, 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 very well. All the better for being here.
Well, we appreciate that, and I'm very disappointed that you don't wear your Oscar on a chain around your neck. I think that's what I would do if I ever won one. Like, you never want people to forget that you did that, I think.
Well, I had it out at home for a bit after we got them.
And for a bit?
Yeah. Seriously, I put it, you cannot look at it every day. It's really terrifying. Because it's not the kind of thing you can ignore and not look at.
Yeah, right. It gets in your head.
It's very eye-catching.
Yeah.
So where is it now? In a closet?
It's in under the bed.
Under the bed?
I'm serious.
Your Oscar is under your bed?
In a box. Because it's not just thrown under the bed. It's like on a box.
Because you can't ignore it if it's not there.
It's just when it's out, it's kind of just mesmerizing, and you think, oh, my God, I'll never do that again.
Oh,
is it all over?
I guess, that makes sense, because you go, well, I've peaked, clearly, so what's the point of going on,
what's
right?
What's the point after that? Yeah, absolutely.
And then there would be something, some tiny voice in your head that would insist that whatever you do next is as worthy, quote-unquote, to win an Academy Award, and a lot of times that's not what you're interested in. You want to go do something, maybe you want to make a smaller movie, and you're not gunning for a big award, right?
Well, because the one we won it for, Slumdog Millionaire, we didn't, I mean, it was inconceivable what happened to that. And you didn't set off having any intention of, you know, where it might end up. So you've got to always just have that belief in what you're doing. And the eventualities that happen, you don't have any real control of. And anybody who thinks they do are kidding themselves, I think.
The kinds of movies that you have made over your very long 30-year career are so varied. I mean, there's no relationship between A Slumdog Millionaire and 127 Hours and a 28 Days Later and a Trainspotting. I mean, they're all so different. Do you ever have problems deciding what you want to do next because your personal interests are so varied?
You kind of – it's instinct, really. The really great thing, if you can, is you just jump. If you think too much, it's terrible because there's so many options in the film world, especially if you're somewhat successful, you get offered lots of options and it just leads to a blizzard and you can't see the wood for the trees or all those expressions. So you're far better off doing something that you personally find fascinating and you can tell other people are a bit baffled by why you want to do it, but that doesn't matter because you have your own belief system in it, and you chase that. And then if it's a failure, and they sometimes are, at least you have that belief that you originally had in it, you know, and you haven't done it for the wrong reasons, and you haven't done it because somebody else told you to.
Have you done that from the beginning, or did you learn that along the way?
You've
always done it.
I've always been like that. I've been very lucky, but that was because the first couple of films we made did have some success. They weren't hugely successful, but they made a bit of money, which gives you a certain freedom that you can kind of make your own choices. And provided you stay sensible and don't ask for hundreds of millions of dollars, they sort of leave you alone to get on with it because they figure every two or three they'll make some money out of it. You know,
right. Shallow Grave was, I mean, it's still to this day, it's a cult classic. It's still a movie that new generations are discovering every day, right?
I hope so. I haven't talked to any of them lately, but I'm really hopeful, yeah.
You mentioned that you get offered a lot of things because of your success, and you turn them down, and then have you ever seen what the director who said yes did with the project and then wished you had done it?
You certainly sometimes see and you think, wow, that's amazing. I remember seeing, so it's funny you mentioned Shallow Grave. So we did Shallow Grave and we took it to, we didn't get into the Cannes Film Festival. We were in like a midnight screening, which is where the ruffians go, who are not quite kosher enough to get into the festival. But it went very well because, you know, it's a very funny film and very violent and it's a real midnight screening film.
Right.
And it did very well. And then this woman came up to me after it and she gave me the script. Called Seven.
Oh,
yeah. She put it in my hands, and I read it, and I just didn't know what to do with it. I thought I can't do that. And then I saw it. Obviously, Fincher did it.
It was an amazing.
I can't.
You read it, and you thought, no way, can I?
I thought I can't do
it. Right. You just weren't ready at that time to be able to do a movie like that.
Yeah, you have to kind of put yourself. You have to judge yourself. You have to say because you're going to have the absolute responsibility for it, and you have to be clear and say, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I'll do that very well.
So you knew what was in the box years before any of us. It's huge.
It didn't spoil it for me, though. When I saw the movie, I was like, oh, what's in the box? What's in the box?
Now wait.
No, it can't be.
Can you watch a movie like that or any movie without thinking about the directing choices that must have gone into it? Does it sort of ruin that for you? Or are you able to just leave the fact that you're a director out of it and watch a movie and enjoy
it? I'm very lucky. If they're bad, you know, if you're really not enjoying it, then you do that thing.
Okay.
But if they're good, you're just like everyone else.
You don't think about it.
You're just terrified, or you're crying, or laughing, or, you know, you're just caught up in it. Like, I saw that movie last year. I saw it, Don't Breathe.
Yes.
Oh, which I just thought was brilliant.
Yes, it was great.
It was just such fun and brilliantly directed by this young director. And that kind of thing. And I remember seeing it. I saw it in a cinema in London. There were about 20 people in the audience and we were screaming. I mean, all of us were shouting, which we don't do in England very much. You know, basically everybody sits there quietly. But on that movie, everybody was shouting, no!
Did you see Get Out?
Haven't seen it yet.
You have to see it.
But my mate, Daniel Kaluuya, is the lead in it.
Oh, so good.
I hear it's like,
by the way, he's great.
He's a fantastic
actor. I mean, we haven't talked about Get Out too much other than it's great, but the acting in it is just genius.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
You need to see that one.
This is the voice of director Danny Boyle here on the Kevin Beach Show. You can tell, as usual, we're having trouble getting Mr. Boyle out of his shell. Trainspotting was a movie that you did that came out in 1996, and you look at it now, and I feel
feel like it's an all-star cast. So many of those actors went on to have very successful careers. And I'm wondering, is that a surprise to you, or did you know that each one of those mains in that film was something special?
I knew they were. But that's different to knowing that they will break out. You judge actors initially their ability, but that doesn't necessarily correspond with whether they'll actually make it or transfer or whatever to a wider market. But I knew those four were, well, there were five, because one of them died in the first film, Kevin McKidd, who played Tommy. And I knew those five were very special. And then we found this girl who was a nobody at the time. We literally found her in a hairdresser's. She was called Kelly MacDonald. And she went on to be, like, in the Coen Brothers movie, in a Robert Altman movie.
Boardwalk Empire, so many things.
Boardwalk Empire, and then the Pixar movie, the Brave, is it the Brave? What's the?
That's it.
Yeah,
that was
just
it. Brave, right?
Brave, yeah.
Brave, yeah.
And so she's done so many things. So she wasn't an actress. We just found her. We asked the people to turn up for auditions, and she came in, and she'd found the sticker the flyer that we handed out in a hairdresser's. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Now, have you planned since 1996 to do this movie? Has it always been in the back of your mind that I'm going to need to do a follow up?
No,
I want to.
No, we should have done one straight away commercially, because it was a bit of a hit, and therefore you should kind of straight away do a kind of follow up. Really.
Right.
But nobody ever talked about that at the time. I think they were so astonished that it was successful, because its potential when we started it was so off. You thought, this is never going to work. It's about a bunch of junkies in Edinburgh. Nobody's going to understand what they say. Nobody's going to really understand what they do. It's what is that ever going to do?
And then I just keep waiting for you to remake it in English. That's the movie I'm looking for.
Or put subtitles. One or the
other. Yeah, the studio has mentioned that. anyway, no, but we. And then a few years later, Irvin Welsh, who wrote the original book, he wrote a book that was a sequel to the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did consider it then, and we tried, and we didn't do a very good job, and we all thought, no, it's not going to work, and we didn't do it. And I'm glad we didn't, because when we got together a couple of years ago with the 20th anniversary looming, we came up with something that was a bit more personal, actually. And it's got
all right, now let me stop you right there, Mr. Yeah. Boyle, because we have to take a very quick break, but I'm fascinated by that, because you could have gone in so many different directions with the storylines where you left the first movie, and we want to talk a little bit about what to expect with Trainspotting 2. T2 Trainspotting is actually what it's called. It's in select theaters next Friday, March 17th, opening wider at the end of the month. Danny Boyle is our guest. A quick break. We'll be right back on K-Rock. He's one of our favorite guests. We're always delighted to have Mr. Danny Boyle in the studio with us, Academy Award-winning director and producer and writer. His new film is called T2 Trainspotting. Spotting in theaters on Friday, March 17th. That's next Friday. I know Trainspotting is very special to you, Danny. You've mentioned that over the years. Is it your favorite film that you've made?
Ooh, it's a really tough question, that one. People do ask that, and you can't really answer it. It's like your kids. You'd never.
Is a favorite kid. We all know that.
But there has to be an unfavorite.
It's usually your favorite kid's usually your youngest, isn't it? That's what they say.
Absolutely.
The one you always favour. So that would be Trainspotting 2.
Now, you mentioned that Trainspotting was more of a hit than certainly you expected when the original came out 21 years ago. Was it? I feel like if it came out today and we had not seen it before, that there would be people lined up to protest the movie because it's so vile and so nihilistic, and there's so many bad things that happen in it. Was it meant like that at the time? Refresh my memory.
Yes, it was a celebration in all respects of their lives, really, and some horrible and grotesque and incredibly painful and tragic, but also the joy of being that young and boyhood, if you like, in a way, or youthhood, or I don't know how, you know, early 20s, that kind of carefree, careless, you know, that abandonment where you just don't care about anything, and a mate of yours dies and you sad for a moment, and then you get on, you know, and it's and this film, the later film, is actually a bit more of a reckoning, really, that comes a point where you realize it's time doesn't care about you, actually.
It's been said it's not a sequel, it's more of a post-mortem.
It sort of is, really, in a way. It's kind of, I mean, it's sort of, it's not, they don't exactly, there are some scenes in it which are reminiscent of the first film, where they try to effortlessly kind of enjoy the bravado of youth again. But, of course, they're much older. They're in their mid-40s now. And they can't quite pull it off. Not to the same degree, not with the same elan, you know. And so, inevitably, their minds are drawn to assessing why that is, what's happened. Rent and Returns after 20 years away. and in some of their minds is revenge. Yeah. So it's a kind of post-mortem, really, which includes revenge and an effort to relive the past.
It's so interesting because those characters in that movie, and you summed it up so beautifully there, Danny, they never think about the future.
No.
They are absolutely – all they care about is their next hit or their next shag, as you would say. But the fact that they wake up one day and they're 45 years old must be – crushing for them, must be terrifying for them. Like, how do I live in this world when I'm this guy who's had this life?
Yeah, that's why we did it. I mean, that's why the actors do it as well. Provided they haven't got the vanity overload, they're prepared to take on board the fact that we weren't going to make them up, that we were going to show their bald spots, their hair's falling out, and they're still dyeing it. You know, it's like, they are very exposed, the actors, because we also said we are occasionally, and we do occasionally cut back to the original film. So mm-hmm. you see them juxtaposed with themselves 20 years
ago. And that Ewan McGregor, what a dog he turned into. look at that face.
Will there be redemption for Spud?
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's all I need from the movie.
But you will get much more than that if you come and see the movie.
I'm seeing
it. About Spud. He gives, Ewan Bremner gives... immense performance, and something extraordinary happens towards the end of the film that is true redemption, not just for himself but for all of them in a way through him, which is very interesting.
Am I going to cry at Trainspotting?
Yes, you are.
Really?
I guarantee it. Honestly, it's very moving. Some of it, weirdly, given they're so hapless and hopeless.
Yeah.
But actually, there's something. I think they are. You kind of identify it like it is really, and sometimes it's unacceptable, and sometimes it's joyous and very envious. You know.
Is there a moment when you're and you're not a sequel guy? This is your first ever sequel, right, Danny?
Yeah.
Is there a moment where you're laying in bed and you're all set to go, and then you think, oh. Am I tarnishing the legacy of a wonderful, wonderful project by making a sequel?
Yeah, I read in an interview that everybody on set was sort of talking under their breath, like, this better not be bad.
Literally, you could see them. Look, they were very committed, the actors, but occasionally they were going to be in terrible, terrible trouble. Because people rightly would crucify us if it was, because they really value the original and they have great memories.
Well, that's what puts the pressure on is how great Trainspotting was.
Right. Yeah, so you have to open it up, you've got to have good reason. And we believed we did, you know, that there is a reason for the film in its own right, really.
You said you didn't do it a couple of years ago, but you did it now because it was more personal.
Yes.
To you.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, when you see the film...
The script was more personal?
And the film.
Yeah.
I mean, for all of us, I think. Me and the screenwriter, and also the... Like, for instance, the four actors, since we made the film, have become fathers, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't when we made the first film, and they certainly didn't behave like responsible
parents.
They were not
good with children in the first
movie. It doesn't work out for the baby in the first movie.
So, listen, the baby who died in the first movie, obviously, there is a reprise of that moment in this movie. So we thought, oh, my God, we better find out what happened to that baby. Because, you know, I mean, that baby would now be 22 years old.
So
you're talking about the actor who played the baby in the movie, right?
That's right. So, and in fact, what you do when you have a baby in a movie is you cast twins or double babies. And then you know one of them's not going to be asleep or crying. You know, you get a double hit at it. Anyway, we found these girls. They were twin girls on Facebook.
Is that right?
Yeah, and they're 22 now. And they're really beautiful Scottish girls, really glamorous. They work in like PR, I think, and they're really, really nice. And they came to our premiere party in Edinburgh, and they went round the party introducing themselves as the dead baby. We're the dead baby.
Remember me on the ceiling? That's me.
That's me. I was
that strangest introduction ever.
The weirdest introduction, especially when they're so glamorous, you know.
I'm happy they worked out better for them in real life than it did in your movie.
I know. Real life's better than the movies. So, but seriously, the idea of fatherhood and children is very, very important in this film. And the film is, you can see all these images of children running around in the film, and even imaginary children at one point as well, which is a bit weird. And it's what they've done as fathers and how poorly men age into fatherhood is sort of one of the ideas of the film. And women, I mean, working on it, you realise women age much better than we do. They get such flack, women, about stuff, but actually they measure out time much more sensibly than men do, I think. We hang on to the past, and it's really embarrassing. the way we do. We're all guilty of it. You
it's
know?
Very true.
Yeah.
I'm not going to question that. Yeah. That's the smartest thing you've said.
This director, Danny Boyle, again, we're talking about T2 Trainspotting in theaters next Friday, St. Patrick's Day. You did so many movies with Ewan McGregor in the early days. He was your man. Did you guys develop some sort of telepathy as director and actor, as so often is the case? And I wondered if that still existed when you guys got back on set together for this one.
Yeah, it was, actually. We'd had a bit of a falling out, because we made three films together, and that telepathy was there. It was very instinctive, and for both of us, I think. It made us both better than the sum of our parts, really. It added up really beautifully. And then we fell out a bit over a bit of casting, and when we got back together again, it was wonderful, actually. I felt very at home with him, and I think he did as well. And there's a shot at the end of the film, the very last shot of the film. I won't tell you what it is, but I remember saying to him after we'd shot it, I said, if I get knocked down by a bus and I never shoot another thing in my life, I'll die a happy man, Ewan. And he said, oh, don't say that. We've just got back together again.
You have any idea what you want to do next, Danny?
Yeah, we're doing a big television, one of these new television five-year series things, you know, set over five decades. Shot over 5 years.
For America or for Britain?
It's for America. It's for FX.
Very
exciting. And the first one's set in the 70s in Rome and London, and then the second series set in the south here, and it goes on and on. I mean, it's a family dynasty thing.
Original story. It's not based on an existing project?
It is a true life story. I'm reluctant to remember to actually mention what it is, because we've got a few lawyer problems in the moment.
I understand. No worries. We understand that.
I wouldn't want to drag you into it.
All right. Yeah, we don't want to be called to testify in court of something you said on the air. So, all right. So we're out of time, and I hate to say that because we love having you in so much, but Trainspotting 2 is going to open up in select theaters, including the Arclight Hollywood, also the Landmark Theater on Pico and the West Side Pavilion. That's going to be next Friday, St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day, a big deal for you at all, Danny?
Oh, yeah. It's great. And I always find myself in New York on St. Patrick's Day. I don't know why it is.
It's a perfect place for it, right?
But it's a big thing for me. My family's all Irish. You know, my background's all Irish. Mm-hmm. So it's a big thing for us still, yeah.
It's nice to go someplace where you know you're not going to have to pay for a drink. Right?
Absolutely.
Well, congratulations. Welcome back, sir. We're so excited to see this film. You're welcome anytime on the Kevin Abeen Show.
Thank you very much.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin Bean Show at 8:51.
K-Rock Wheels Up 2017. Destination number 6, two great K-Rock bands together, Incubus and Jimmy Eat World. They're playing the Hollywood Bowl, and you qualify to see them in New Orleans. They're playing Champion Square, you guys, which is an amphitheater right up against the Mercedes Superdome.
Yeah, guarantee you like that there.
It's a very cool outdoor thing where you can see the band if you win the grand prize.
Plus, you can stay at Bean's house.
Yeah,
I'm not sure about that.
And Bean will take you out to get étouffée.
That is not true.
He'll show you that jambalaya.
So 1-800-520-1067. If you want to win some tickets to see Incubus and Jimmy Eat World, the Hollywood Bowl, you call right now. We are looking for fans of both bands this time around, all right? 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game coming up after the top of the hour. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
What's the best New Orleans food you've had so far, Bean?
It's so hard.
Etouffee?
I have gumbo? I have had both of those many different times, and they are both excellent. I did have at Dookie Chase's.
I did have a
chicken jambalaya that was unbelievable. Oh. That was certainly one of my favorites.
It also wasn't chicken.
It really was
Dookie.
Right.
I feel like that was implied.
That was the man's name. That was his name.
That's the man's name.
And he passed away.
He earns it
recently.
Every penny of it. Dookie's on first. Let me tell you something. This Paley Fest, it's the best thing if you're a TV nerd. You rarely get a chance to hang out.
Hey, Ralph, sidebar?
Yeah.
Oh, we can't give away tickets here because we sold for the contest.
Because we have the Incubus and the Jimmy Eat World next.
Oh, Beer Mug told me to
We screwed you up on that one.
Do the contest.
That's on
here.
Us. That's Beans.
So, the Paley Fest is so great that an hour from now we're going to give you some tickets to it.
So
sorry about that.
So that happened.
That's on us.
Doesn't make the Paley Fest not great.
No, it is great.
Right.
It just means I won't be giving things away for it
right
now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in an hour or so, in the last showbiz of the day, I'll be giving away tickets to Paley Fest. And I'll just give you a hint right now what it's going to be about, so that'll make you stick around. CW's Heroes and Heroes and Aliens Evening, featuring the cast and creative team behind Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow.
I'm in.
Right?
Yep.
Those four shows, those casts, those creators, they're going to be talking, I'm sure, about the musical crossover, which I've seen the trailer for. It just came out today and looks awesome. That Melissa Benoist is,
she's good. Deal.
Define.
I think we all know.
She's stunning.
No, Bean, no.
And so charming and talented a natural actress who just makes it all seem so effortless.
Yeah, so likable.
And we all know it's not. And she's pretty spectacular. I'm loving that show. Stop with that unfortunate noise.
Giggity.
Speaking of television, USA Network has finally cast the roles of Tupac and Biggie in their new TV series about the murders of those two legends.
I hope Allie got one of them.
I'm sorry, what happened?
I said I hope Allie got one of them.
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
Right? There she is.
You think she's going to play Biggie Smalls?
I'd love to see that.
Thank you.
No surprise here, Mark Rose, who played Tupac in the Straight Outta Compton film.
All right.
We'll play Tupac in the new series as well.
He looks exactly like him.
And up-and-coming rapper Wavy Jones has nabbed the part of Christopher Wallace, better known as Biggie Smalls. So those two will be playing those characters. A little bit of a community reunion coming up on the season finale of Dr. Ken on ABC. Allison Brie will be joining Ken Jeong and community creator Dan Harmon on the March 31st show.
Remember when we used to have Allison Brie on the show and she would only call when Bean was gone?
Yeah, it was the best.
It was the best. She would check first to see if Bean was gone. And then
right.
She would come
and
on
say,
the
okay,
show.
Yeah, I'll come on the show as long as Bean's not there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is this Bean Baxter?
It is.
It's Ralph Garman from the Kevin and Bean Show here.
We have Allison Brie here.
Hi, Bean.
Oh, we must have lost the connection.
Damn these phones.
Damn these phones, indeed.
It's still so funny.
It wasn't
really
funny at all.
Funny.
It was funny. I love her, and it wasn't funny.
It's deeply funny.
She's my favorite actress, and it wasn't funny.
It's funny to the bone.
There's nothing humorous about what you did.
Hilarious.
By the way, it's also 100% your sense of humor. You would have done that to any of us, and you would have loved it.
Oh, I see how it is. Not when it's on you.
Did you hear how excited I was that she was on the
show? Yes.
And then, boom, gone.
I mean, phones happen. What are you going to do?
Especially here.
Right?
Yeah. Notoriously unreliable phones.
Right.
It was phonus interruptus is what that was.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable with that.
There is an upcoming movie about the Boston Marathon called Boston, An American Running Story.
Wasn't there just a movie about the Boston Marathon like a month ago?
It's not about that particular terrorist attack at the Boston Marathon.
Okay.
It's about the legend that is the Boston Marathon.
A lot of that accent, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
Boston, An American Running Story is the name of the film. It will focus on various stories of triumph over adversity for runners and non-runners alike throughout the history of the race. It's going to be narrated by Matt Damon.
Aww.
So boring.
Wow.
Matt, as it turns out, his brother and father have each run the Boston Marathon four times.
Huh. Interesting.
Wow.
And he's been in the crowd watching his brother and father run as well. So they will be only in theaters for one day, however.
Okay. Let's make it really difficult.
A weird
Good.
Business model.
On April 19th to coincide with this year's race. So the day of the
boring.
Race. That'll be in the How can that be boring? The
boring.
History of one of the great sporting events in
I
America.
I love it because we used to get the day off school for the marathon.
Boring.
So.
Oh my God. Who the hell cares?
It's pretty great. No school.
New release date for DVDs if you want to pick up Jackie, the story of former First Lady Jackie Kennedy, starring Natalie Portman and Peter Sarsgaard. That's in theaters. That's in stores today.
I saw that. Natalie Portman is amazing in it.
Trespass Against Us with Michael Fassbender, also available today. 100 Streets with Idris Elba. And Incarnate with Aaron Eckhart. All in stores today. Also on TV, on DVD, That 70s Show, the complete series.
Finally.
Is now available on DVD. If you wanted to binge watch that all at the same time on your DVD player. Speaking of That 70s Show, as we look at today's celebrity birthdays, Laura Prepon turns 37 years old today. Jenna Fisher is 43. Peter Sarsgaard is 47, as is Rachel Weisz. Wanda Sykes, the comedian, is 53 years old. And Bryan Cranston, one of our favorites around here, 61 years old today. And Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Why do we keep playing this game?
Because we love it.
We don't know how it works.
I love it. Just
love it.
The off-air prior
it really
to
does
it.
Have yeah. too many moving parts to it. All right, here's what we're doing, kids. We're giving away tickets to Jimmy Eat World and Incubus. They are playing together at the Hollywood Bowl. Those shows, by the way, are going to be on August the 14th. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster.com. And you are also qualified for the grand prize join to see them in New Orleans with round-trip airfare, hotel, $500 spending cash. It's destination number 6 at the K-Rock Wheels Up 2017. And the game that we have decided to do for you this time is called Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
All right, before we meet our contestants, Kevin, why don't you try to explain how the game is played?
All right. We have an Incubus fan. We have a Jimmy Eat World fan. We're going to talk to each of them. They will pick either Dave, the King of Mexico, to give them clues, or Allie McKay, if they want to win, to give them clues.
All right.
They want you to say the name of your band. So an Incubus song title is what we're looking for, and they can't use any of the words in the title, so they're going to describe it in a roundabout way to get you to say the title of the song.
Okay.
You have 45 seconds. You have five each, and you can pass and then go back to it if you want to.
Okay.
Is that clear?
I think that sums it up pretty well.
All right.
Who's our first contestant, please?
Our first contestant is Manny. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing there?
Good, thank you.
All right, Manny. So Manny is our Incubus fan, right? He's playing because he loves the band Incubus. Now we're gonna we're gonna make him go first, right?
Correct. So you right, pick. Awesome. Who do you want? You want the King of Mexico, or do you want to win?
You know what? I'm gonna go with the King of Mexico.
That's right, you are, Manny.
What is wrong with you, Manny?
That's right, Manny.
You not heard this game before? Dave is terrible at it.
That's right, Manny. All right, you made your bed. Now you're gonna lie in it.
All right, Dave has not looked at these yet.
45 seconds on the clock. So he's gonna be looking for five Incubus song titles.
So what happens if he gets stuck on one? What does he do?
He passes.
He passes.
And then goes back to it.
What happens if I get stuck on one?
Then he's out of luck because we all warned him. We all told him not to pick you.
All right, cool.
All right, are you ready, Manny?
Yes.
Are you ready, King?
Let's do this.
Go.
All right. If someone's in danger, you give them this before.
Warning.
Okay, cool. It's another word for excuse.
What do you mean?
Yeah. All right. This goes well with vinegar.
Oil and water.
Yep. All right. This is what you do in a car.
Drive.
All right. It's
Dig.
It's one of their most famous songs. No, just kidding. It's a star system, I think. I don't really know this one, but it's a star system.
Stellar.
Boom!
Yes!
Manny is the man!
Manny is the man. Yeah.
Manny is a great contestant.
You really know your Incubus, Manny. That was outstanding, my friend. All right, you hold on. Let's meet your competitor. I think this is going to be Bill. He's on line 5, Santa Fe Springs, up next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, what's happening, party people?
Yo, what'd you think about Manny? That was pretty impressive, right?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
All right. Well, the good news is your partner is Allie, and she's generally very good at this game. Now, you're going to be looking for 5 Jimmy Eat World songs. And again, if you get hung up, go ahead and pass and come at the end if you got some time left on the clock. All right?
All right. Let's do this.
Good luck.
Okay. Everybody ready? Here we go.
Yeah. All right. This is where you go every morning and you earn a paycheck.
Yep.
Okay, not the beginning, not the end.
Middle, in the middle.
Yes,
middle.
Not small, but
pass.
Okay, this is a term of endearment. You'd call your wife this. It's not sour, but...
Pass.
Oh, my God. Okay, when you're hurt, you are in... These are
pain.
Jimmy Eat World songs. Yes, pain.
Yes,
okay,
pain.
Let's go back to Commerce is one of these places where you go and make bets.
The casino.
Yes, and this is a term of endearment. Not sour, but...
Not
Not sour? One more time?
Not sour. Like, it's a kind of chicken. Blank and sour chicken.
We suck.
Yeah! Oh.
Woo! Suck it, Bill!
Just
you
under
suck.
The wire.
It was sweet.
Sweetness.
It was sweetness.
Nope. No. Why?
No.
Nope.
You didn't. I'm sorry. But thank you for playing anyway. Let's meet Manny. He's our winner. He's going to see Incubus and Jimmy Eat World playing at the Hollywood Bowl this summer and might be joining me here in New Orleans to see him in August as well. How are you, Manny?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
He picked the King of Mexico, so he handicapped himself, and then he still won.
He was that good.
Pretty good. Congratulations. Enjoy the show, and thanks for playing the game.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. LANOC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:37.
We got time for one more look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
What we have time for is giving away an awesome prize. Paley Fest 2017.
Yay!
Is almost upon us. It's the magical time of year in March where the Paley Center for Media, previously known as the Museum of Television and Radio, they put together an amazing lineup of television programs where you get to meet the casts and creative teams behind some of your favorite TV shows. And it's always an outstanding lineup. This year is no different. For example, Grey's Anatomy, This Is Us, James Corden and The Late Late Show. You can find out more if you go to paleyfest.org, get all the details and whatever remaining tickets there are for this festival. All happens at the Dolby Theater, Hollywood and Highland. And you get to see the cast and the creative teams, and they answer your questions as well. And it's moderated by usually a very informed television journalist or something like that, and they kind of run the evening for you. It's really entertaining, especially if you're a TV fan and you love behind-the-scenes stuff. This hour, I'm giving away tickets for March 18th's evening, which is CW's Heroes and Aliens.
Yes, please.
Featuring folks from Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, and DC's Legends of Tomorrow. Oh, my God, it's so good. If you'd like to go, I'm going to ask a trivia question because I don't want just some jamoke going to this thing. Some clown who just punches in some phone numbers and, oh, look at me, I got these things. What are these tickets? You got to know it. You got to want it. I want one of my geeks, my fellow brethren, to go to this thing. So I'm going to ask you a little flash trivia. If you can get the correct answer and be the first one through at 1-800-520-1067, you're going to win a pair of tickets to an evening with CW's Heroes and Aliens. Here's the Flash trivia question. In 1940, the character of the Flash was introduced in Flash Comics number 1. I need to know the secret identity of the very first Flash. There's been a lot of Flashes over the years, a lot of speedsters in the DC comic book universe, but who was the very first Flash?
Jesus
was not the first Flash.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Chris Hansen also not the first Flash.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'll give you a hint. This character on the Flash TV series on the CW was played by both Teddy Sears and John Wesley Shipp. So if you know the answer to who was the first Flash, or Earth 2 Flash, some people know him best as, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067.
Becky with the good hair?
Not Becky with the good hair.
Boz Skaggs.
Not Boz Skaggs.
Johnny Asshole.
Nope.
Magic Dick.
Bill Paxton.
What?
Passed away.
Oh.
The age of 61 last week, and we officially know the cause of death now. Apparently, he underwent a stroke after he had surgery to replace a heart valve and correct an aortic aneurysm 11 days prior to his death. And that was the cause of death, was a stroke, which is just tragic. Apparently the surgery was successful and then he was killed due to complications after the fact. But that is sad news. And also, according to TMZ, they're saying that the results are back for the cause of death for George Michael. And they're claiming natural causes.
That seems...
What, 50?
Unlikely.
50 what? 51?
I think 51, 50. Yeah.
Natural causes.
Natural causes.
Hmm.
In the words of Jack Klugman, Quincy, M.D.
Uh-huh.
M.E., rather. Natural causes, I don't buy it. Thank you.
It's like a fun show.
He used to say that in almost every episode. Well, he was a medical examiner.
Sure, sure.
So he rarely bought it when someone said it was natural causes.
Sounds like a show I'd like.
He would look deeper for the reasoning behind someone's death, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
He would think there might be a conspiracy afoot.
Yeah, I'm into this.
And he would do his research.
This is a new show?
And he'd say, natural causes, I don't buy it.
If by new you mean 1970s, yeah. Yes.
What was it, Trapper John?
No,
what?
Quincy Emmy.
Oh, sorry.
Ba-ba-da-da-ba-ba.
Was there a Trapper John? Why did I say that?
No Trapper idea. John MD. Yeah,
oh,
sure there was. Yeah.
Sure.
It was a MASH spinoff, wasn't it?
It was a MASH spinoff. Let's talk more about old television, <It's not>. Shall we?
I just can't believe these references aren't coming from Petros.
He was on fire today.
A Russian Playboy model claims that she was recently detained at LAX International Airport because they thought she was a spy. Right?
I mean, if you say so.
You think that's why they detained her?
Right? She was just hot.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, sure.
Are lonely her because she's hot.
Sure. I'm like, oh, excuse me, Petrolina, why don't you come over here into this room? We need to strip search you and make sure you're not carrying any microfilm in any crevices.
Secret agent.
So apparently, things are tough all over, even for Playboy models.
Speaking of Russia, I believe The Americans comes back tonight, you guys.
Oh, so good.
Could it be more appropriate in this day and age?
Right?
Yep. All this stuff going on, right?
If that is not a show you have been watching, you've been missing out. It's terrific.
Regarding the Russian model, the TSA apparently became suspicious because she claimed that she was a model. But then they found a sandwich in her bag. And they said, well, that can't be the case.
Stupid.
She's eating food, so.
Look, that's suspicious.
That makes us suspicious right there.
This was a success.
Was it?
Was it a success? I think it may have been a success.
I liked it.
David Letterman spending some quality time slamming Donald Trump in an interview with New York Magazine this week.
He looks like a homeless guy these days.
What's going on with him and that beard? I have no idea.
He really
that can't
does.
Be comfortable. It can't be. It's just too much beard. It's a hair bib. Is what it is. He says if he still had a show, Letterman says, people would have to come and take me off the stage. I'd be talking about Trump so much. They'd be like, Dave, that's enough about Trump. We've run out of tape. It's all I'd be talking about. I'd be exhausted, he said.
Is it any wonder the rest of the world hates us?
Not a fan of Trump. He used to say when he was a guest on his show, he'd sit down and I would just start making fun of him. He never had any retort. He was big and doughy and you could beat him up. He says, people need to figure out ways to protect ourselves from him. We know he's crazy. We got to take care of ourselves here. So David being very outspoken regarding his old guest, Donald
Wrong.
J. Trump. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I think Alex from Aliso Viejo called in first. Alex?
Yes, hi.
Who was the first Flash, sir?
Jay Garrick.
Jay Garrick is correct.
Yay!
Hold on, Alex. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see an evening with CW's Heroes and Aliens from all their superhero TV shows, thanks to the Paley Center.
Right on.
All right. Thanks so much for calling
That's
in.
That's something else right there, man.
Jay Garrick. Love Jay Garrick. Right?
Right.
Because first we thought Jay Garrick was Jay Garrick, and then it turns out, who was he? Zoom. Bitches.
Right.
Then we found out that Jay Garrick was actually in the cell that Zoom had him locked up. And he looked just like Barry's dad. Remember that?
Yep. Remember all that?
No, you don't.
I do.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Because everybody kept, we kept asking people to come on the show, who's the guy in the...
Who's the guy in the cell?
Yeah.
Just tapping out the code.
Yeah.
Right, Allie? You used to wonder that.
And the hell in the cell. And they're like, who is it? And he's like, Jay.
That's what he would. He would tap out Jay.
Yeah. Would he?
Yes.
Oh,
that
sweet.
Was his code. He'd tap
yeah.
out Jay.
And everyone's like, I know
And
Jay.
Barry'd be like, what, Jay? What are you trying to say, man? Today's celebrity birthday is Bryan Cranston, 61 years old today.
I am the one who knocks.
He's the one who knocks. Wanda Sykes is 53. Rachel Weisz celebrates her 47th birthday. Rachel Weisz, every movie you're in's good.
Why do some people tune out?
Peter Sarsgaard, also 47 today. Jenna Fisher's 43. And Laura Prepon. Excuse me. You have me, Laura Prepon.
Go straight to hell.
Oh, dumb.
It wasn't
that
funny.
I don't like it at all.
Right? 37
Where's
years
your,
old
this is
today.
A success now.
It's nowhere near the show.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with me.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Will Arnett on the program.
My co-star from the Lego Batman movie.
Right. We have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices because it's Wednesday. Ugh. We have Jeff Probst, the host of Survivor. And more importantly, at 7:20, we have all the details for our comedy show that we throw every year called April Foolishness. It's all headliners. We'll tell you who's playing. We'll tell you how to buy tickets. All the information tomorrow morning at 7:20.
Are we also going to have a wonderful contest?
Yes.
Where if you are a wannabe stand-up comedian, you can enter into our contest and you can actually open the show for us.
We are going to do
that, as,
that
well. As well, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so tell your friends who are funny. We make Laura Prepon jokes. They might be able to open up the comedy
I'm not
show.
Sure that person might
that
be able to open
hilarious.
Up. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.